Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Dove Go Fresh deodorant and cool cucumber and green tea scent with matching body mist plus three other fresh scents.
Employment right now it stands at 7.6%, and some analysts think it may jump closer to 8%. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says all signs point to more Americans joining the ranks of the jobless.
There is continuing pressure on companies. We're likely to see more layoffs. You've still got a lot of problems, of course, you know, with small businesses that are trying to stay afloat. You know, there are many retail outlets that are struggling to stay in business, you know, that ultimately could have to close. That will mean more job losses.
CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has traveled to one area where unemployment has hit especially hard.
Chester, South Carolina welcomes you here along State Highway 9 with a sign that says a historic past and unlimited future. The present, though, is a problem.
Very rural area. High unemployment rate.
17% and rising, and Catawba Mental Health Director Paul Cornelly sees the effects.
The past couple months, we've increased our referrals by 20%.
Unemployment in rural America is exploding. In December, the nation's 2,000 rural counties lost 282,000 jobs, 18 times more than the total for the previous 12 months.
When was your last day of work?
At the busy state workforce center here, Glenda Parkman tells job seekers they'll have to drive to other areas, and
it's a substantial decrease in pay.
Ronnie Groves, who has lived here all his life, is retraining to work with heavy equipment.
But what business is going to be hiring for heavy equipment if everything's closing down?
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Chester, South Carolina.
I'm Peter Mayer. President Obama's first comment on what the White House has already predicted will be more dismal jobless numbers will come as he promotes saving some jobs. On a quick trip to Columbus, Ohio, he will claim an early economic stimulus save, preserving the jobs of 27 police recruits who were slated for layoffs. Officials say the federal funding preserved the jobs, so today the president will fold that story into his own campaign to show the grassroots impact of the economic stimulus plan.
One group is launching a cross-country tour today to rally Americans in cities hit hard by the foreclosure crisis. The Recovery Express is a bus caravan that will start in Antioch, California, and end up in the nation's capital. One of those taking part, Rosario Frizzi, who's trying to keep the roof over her head.
We want to talk for the whole nation. We want to tell them that we have enough. We need to do something drastic to solve this problem.
I'm Dan Raviv in Washington. The five members of a panel appointed by Congress to oversee the TARP program to stabilize financial markets say it's critically important to solve what they call the foreclosure crisis.
We want to wave a flag because, quite frankly, we don't have a lot more time on this.
The panel's report says the home is the center of American life and our biggest investment, adding that around 10% of Americans are behind in their mortgage payments. Usually it's only around 1%. The main prescription, carefully modify home loans to make them affordable. But how to be fair in doing that is a huge problem.
Well, how safe is the money Americans have put in U.S. banks? The government insures regular deposits up to $250,000. The head of the FDIC warned this week the fund could be wiped out. Now Sheila Bair is proposing a limit on a new emergency fee charged banks if Congress okays tripling the agency's borrowing authority. Time on the Friday morning edition of the CBS World News Roundup is 4 past the hour.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Nearly 1,000 people attended a forum on academic freedom on the University of Colorado campus in Boulder last night. 1960s radical William Ayers and former CU professor Ward Churchill addressed the meeting. Churchill was asked why he's filing a free speech lawsuit against the university.
I do it not for myself, but for the possibility of the coming generations to hear what they have a right to hear, which is their teacher's version of truth.
The comments courtesy of 9 News. The university fired Churchill over plagiarism allegations. Churchill says he was fired because of comments he made linking 9/11 victims to Nazi Adolf Eichmann. The Colorado Bureau of Investigation says a club closed in Denver last year was really a front for organized crime. Former Broncos players Reggie Rivers and Rod Bernstein were involved in the illegal gambling club as players. That, according to 9 News and the Denver Post, it left some gamblers deep in debt and caused two members to commit suicide.
People could win or lose in that game, sometimes $10,000-$11,000.
That former player talking with 9 News, about 100 high rollers were part of the Gin Rummy Club on South Broadway. None of the gamblers was charged in the operation, but 7 of the alleged operators are under indictment. The chief executive of High Country Healthcare has been arrested on child pornography allegations. Summit County sheriffs say 54-year-old Dennis Flint faces 3 counts of sexual exploitation of a child by possessing child pornography. Flint is a philanthropist and medical group CEO. He's being held without bond at the Summit County Jail. And it's an unexpected 3-day weekend for kids in the Aspen School District. Classes were canceled today due to a bomb threat scrawled on a bathroom wall that threatened Aspen High School. ATF agents and bomb-sniffing dogs worked through the night on the campus. In sports, Carmelo Anthony returned last night and had 38 points. The Nuggets beat Portland 106-90. They head to Utah tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Cale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where, for the most part, volume is light. Speeds are going to be looking pretty good anywhere you're heading. 10 to 15 minutes is all it should take as you're driving across Aurora this either direction at 225, I-25 to I-70. Turnpike's also in excellent shape between Denver and Boulder. Mountain Ride also looking good. Few icy patches over the higher passes, but I-70 is dry and clear pretty much as you're making your way to and through Summit County. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Folks out there who get up in the morning, get their coffee, go to work,
get the kids off to school,
pay their bills, work hard,
they don't understand most of this Wall Street talk.
Ed Schultz.
I don't. I admit it. Just because I sit in front of a microphone doesn't mean that I know everything. I think there's a good number of Americans out there that are somewhat bamboozled by all of this. So I have to trust, and you have to trust, those who we elect, that they're going to do the right thing.
The Ed Schultz Show, mornings 10 to 1 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love you too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
This is not the Jay Marvin Show, at least not this morning. This is the David Sirota Show. I'm filling in for Jay Marvin. He is out sick this week. I'll be here until through Tuesday. Colder today here in Denver. Unfortunately, we're not getting the spring-like weather that we've had, although I guess it's fortunate for the planet. That spring-like weather was really weird for March. And it is, I think, one of those subtle, that weather was, one of those subtle signs of the apocalypse. That is the topic of my column this week in the Denver Post. By the way, my column just got picked up by the Colorado Springs Gazette, which is terrific. I'm getting ready to get a whole onslaught of hate mail every single time it publishes there. But hey, it's good to get the message out. The column this week is Signs of the Apocalypse, and there we go. That's the, I told John to pull up the,
If only columns could have a music bed behind them.
I know, that would be sweet, huh? So this is the End by The Doors, which is, of course, the famous song from Apocalypse Now. And the column is kind of a metaphor. It's not 100% serious. I don't actually think the world is going to blow up, at least not imminently. But the column basically says that I've been, as a writer, I've been looking for, the writing is the quest to try to find the exact right words to describe the world around you, and I've been groping around to try to find the right word to describe the mood really all over the world right now. And I went to Mexico City. And if you've ever been to Mexico City, you've got to go to the pyramid of the sun and the pyramid of the moon in Teotihuacan outside of Mexico City. And I'm probably not saying that word right. I'm not pretending to be a fluent Spanish speaker. I don't speak Spanish. But the weird part about that ancient city and the pyramid of the sun and the pyramid of the moon is that you climb up this giant ruin and you look out over this big ancient city, the ruins of it, and you find out that when the Aztecs found it in about 700 AD, they found it abandoned, totally uninhabited, and nobody knows what happened to the people there. Apparently there was, I think, 100,000 or 200,000 people who archaeologists now think lived there. And it was a culture around human sacrifice, and it's really, really weird. But I was sitting at the top of the Temple of the Sun, and granted, one newspaper editor, when they read my column, asked me what I was smoking after he read my column, but I was sitting at the top of the Temple of the Sun, and the word finally came to me, because you're looking out on this city that was found totally abandoned, and it's a very apocalyptic image when you know the history of it. And I came upon that word. That, I think, is the word that flavors this unfortunately historic moment that we're living through, historically very difficult. And when you look across the world, you've got Iraq is still burning. You've got an unending civil war between, an unending war between the Israelis and the Palestinians. You've got, I don't know if everybody saw it last week, Pakistan released AQ Khan, the guy who gave away nuclear secrets to North Korea. North Korea, and that was in the same week that North Korea said it's going to start doing long-range missile testing again. In Latin America, Colombia still is dealing with its own civil war. In Mexico, the good news, I'm not kidding, the good news last week in Mexico was the President Calderon telling people that the drug cartels hadn't yet taken over full autonomous control of any territory in Mexico. That's great news in Mexico. Again, that the drug cartels haven't actually taken over parts of the country fully. I mean, if that is not apocalyptic, to know that your country is potentially having to deal with drug cartels trying to take over physical territory, I don't know what is. Here in this country, our signs of apocalypse are usually more subtle, and I offer two in the column. I mean, the woman having octuplets, that's a pretty weird, bizarre, somewhat apocalyptic sign. The other one in our culture, I think, is I was watching TV a couple weeks ago, and I heard an ad for a Chicago 7 pizza at Old Chicago Pizza. Now, this is the Chicago 7, for those who don't know, and I'm assuming most people out there do know, was a very, very famous court case, social justice court case around the protests against the war in the 1960s. It is now, in 2009... it has been commercialized into a fast food pizza. I'd say that's a sign of the apocalypse. More seriously, the bailouts, the corruption, the financial collapse, obvious signs of some sort of economic apocalypse. And what I say in the column is I think the most compelling signs of apocalypse, really the most frightening signs of apocalypse, is that in history's end times, that you read about end times, the burning of Rome, the World War II, etc., you always read those stories about how the elites, the rich, the powerful, are basically in a state of complete and total denial. Total denial. This is where the term fiddling while Rome burns comes from. Emperor Nero fiddling or having his, partying while the barbarians sack Rome. That's sort of something that tends to mark history's end times. And we have that here in this country in a really frightening way. We had one financial analyst tell the New York Times in a country where wages are stagnating, people are getting thrown out of their jobs, and where the median household income is $50,000. We had one financial executive tell reporters that bankers, quote, can't live on $150,000 to $180,000. Another one bemoaned the efforts to restrict CEO pay, saying that $500,000 a year is not a lot of money. The New York Times said $500,000 can go very fast. And in Washington, we keep hearing declarations, not that people are worried about regular people, ordinary people being thrown out of their homes, but they're worried about, again, about the wealthy elite. Senator Kent Conrad, the Democrat from North Dakota, he went on Fox News, complained that Congress has, quote, gotten very little done to help the financial sector. Michelle Bachmann, the Republican lawmaker from Minnesota, says that America should be most worried that we're running out of rich people. This is fiddling while Rome burns. I mean, that's a direct quote, by the way. She said America should be worried, quote, that we're running out of rich people. This is fiddling while Rome burns. I mean, these people are totally divorced from the cataclysm that's happening all around us. And I end the column by saying what's telling is that it's all being reflected back to us by Hollywood. All of this. This mix of hedonism and fatalism is all being reflected back to us, right? In the movie theaters right now, we've got Confessions of a Shopaholic, which is a comedy film that glorifies overborrowing and overspending in an economic meltdown based on overborrowing and overspending. We're soon going to get the final season of Lost, and which I am obsessed with that show. I'm only into season two, so don't tell me any secrets. But Lost is a television show who's, you know, they've got these United Colors of Benetton models and Abercrombie and Fitch. These people look like, you know, they've hit in the gym pretty hard. They stumble onto a mystery that might destroy the planet, and we're going to soon get a film version of a book I just read, The Road by Cormac McCarthy, which is an unbelievably dark fable about cannibalism at the end of humanity. So there's this MTV beach party at the end of the world kind of thing coming out of Hollywood. And I really think it's overlaid our society with this impending sense of doom, this sense of apocalypse that is very, very different than anything I've experienced in terms of a cultural and societal zeitgeist. And you see it everywhere. Everyone you talk to, everyone's worried about that. Everyone feels like the big one is coming. Or the big one came, and we're going to have to deal with a lot of consequences. And I think it's shaping our politics. It's shaping, certainly it's going to shape the next generation and what kind of world that we live in. I mean, I didn't live during the lead up to World War II. I wasn't around. But I'm guessing at times like that, it was the same kind of feeling. So this morning, this first hour, and throughout the morning, and we've got a bunch of great guests about all sorts of different topics, about healthcare. We're going to be talking about Wall Street and Washington's campaign, Wall Street's campaign contributions. We're going to be talking about a bill moving through the state legislature here to try to deal with tuition equity issues. But all throughout the morning, I want to hear from you about what your signs, if you think there are signs of the apocalypse out there, small or big, I want to hear them. I think a sign of the apocalypse is a Chicago 7 pizza. I also think a sign of the apocalypse is the financial meltdown. What are you seeing out there? Am I right? Am I wrong? Is there a sign of an apocalypse? Are we living in apocalyptic times, and what are the signs that you're seeing? I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Give us a call. Tell us if you think we're at the edge of the end of the world, or the edge of the end of an old world and going into a new world, and what signs you're seeing. It's 6:18. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Hey, Dave, here's my sign of the apocalypse. You want to hear it?
Yeah, go for it.
I got an audio clip with it. Michael Jackson back on tour.
I'll be performing the songs my fans want to hear.
Americans will pay to see this guy live.
This is really it. This is the final curtain call.
So,
let me ask this question. Which is apocalyptic? The fact that he's going back on tour, or the fact that this is the final time he's going back on tour?
The final time.
That's what's apocalyptic.
That's what's apocalyptic about it, because he's, like, not human. You know, he could be live to be about 1,000 years old and go on tour forever, but
I think he already may be at that. He's sort of like the music version of the Highlander. Maybe he's been alive for a really long time. He does not look natural.
He is the Highlander. He doesn't even sound natural. I don't even know how they're going to, you know... How's he going to sing those songs? He couldn't even talk.
I know.
So, anyway, I'll get to traffic, though, Dave, but that's my sign. Got an early crash northbound I-25 just before you hit Evans. Going to tap the brakes around Yale. Rest of the drive looking like it normally does on a Friday morning. Pretty light for us and quiet. You will see some heavy volumes traveling southbound on I-25 there in North Glen, again, near downtown after 38th. Your forecast.
Thanks for coming into Radio Shack. How can I help you?
Oh, baby, it's tourney time. You got to help me follow the game so I can rock the round ball.
Let me guess, you're a college basketball fan.
You got it. Swish.
Well, then, I know what you're looking for. Check out the touchscreen LG View from AT&T and watch all that NCAA March Madness has to offer right on your phone.
Whoa, what a true MVP.
Well, thanks. I try my best.
Watch all the action live with the LG View. Available at Radio Shack.
ED has a 2.95% annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available, and it guarantees your money makes money. Lock in now. Go to gmacbank.com/radio or call 1-800-490-GMAC. Open a CD with as little as $500 and feel confident knowing your money's wearing body armor. GMAC Bank. Smart, simple, safe. Member FDIC.
Try Deli Zone today and enjoy a regular size New York style sub for $4.99. For fresh, delicious New York style sandwiches you crave, it's Deli Zone. Find a Deli Zone near you at DeliZone.net.
The Arizona Memorial is a reminder of the important legacy we in the military have to protect our country.
The Arizona Memorial is about bringing our country together to stand victorious.
A new visitor center and museum must be built.
To help, go to PearlHarborMemorial.com.
Or call toll-free 1-866-332-1941. Remember,
understand,
honor,
and give from the heart.
PearlHarborMemorial.com. Thank you.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds, snakes, and airplanes. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have heard
the game of yourself. Turn world so the song needs to be wrong. That's kind of the attitude I feel like is coming from our pop culture, our political culture. They're saying it's the end of the world as we know it, and they feel fine.
You know what I was thinking about on the way home from work a couple days ago, Dave? The same whole thing, your same scenario, and chaos theory. It just seems like everything is becoming more chaotic.
Totally.
And we're just spinning out of control.
It really feels that way. We're just heading for chaos
everywhere, and I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with the chaos theory. I couldn't really explain it very well, but a little bit. I mean, that's just where I feel like we're headed. You know, it's just strange.
Things are coming. It definitely feels like things are coming apart at the seams. I mean, the other one I forgot to mention, of course, the other sign of the apocalypse that I forgot to mention was, of course, Rick Santelli, the CNBC reporter, who stood on the floor of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange a couple weeks ago, surrounded by wealthy commodities traders, portraying himself as a populist champion of the little guy, for saying that people who are getting thrown out of their homes are losers. And he was subsequently billed in the media as this great populist champion. And that is apocalyptic unto itself. All right, let's go to the phones. I want to hear your feelings, your signs of the apocalypse. Let's first go to Bob in Denver. Bob,
how you doing? Are you familiar with the Easter Island scenario?
No, tell us about it.
Okay, that's where the statues are.
Right.
An archaeologist has been studying that for probably about 50 years, and the thing of it is, they finally concluded that that island at one time was kind of like a rainforest, that the population that inhabited that island over time had totally stripped it of all of its resources, and that the civilization actually ended up in the kind of mayhem you were talking about. murder, capitalism, cannibalism, just all kinds of things where they were basically had gotten so desperate, either the ones that were left, went to South America or they just died. And the thing of it is, that's a grassland now that doesn't support a whole lot of anything, where at one time it was just like the Brazilian rainforest. And they stripped the entire thing of all of its trees.
Wow. I mean, that's... I read when I was in Mexico City, my reading was, as I alluded to, was the book The Road by Cormac McCarthy, which is being made into a movie. And it was probably the darkest book I've ever read. And that's saying a lot. Cause I tend to read dark books. But as it relates to what you've just said, the underlying thesis of the book, although he doesn't come out and say it, and I'm not ruining anything, is that a world that destroys its ecosphere, its biosphere, is a world that will quickly come apart, and society will come apart. And it really makes the claim, without bashing you over the head, that if you destroy your environment and your biosphere, your society will ultimately rip apart, because it will essentially foster a battle for resources, for basic necessities for human survival.
Well, you're saying that in Africa in a lot of ways too, though. The other thing, let me tell you, one of the other apocalypse, which is kind of a little bit off of this, the thing of it is that I look at this, when I listen to this whole thing about labor, I hear businesses saying that they cannot create an economy unless the American worker is willing to work for $10 or $12 an hour and no benefits. That the only people who really deserve anything are the people like Santelli.
Exactly. I know. And that's what's been coming out of our government and our political system and our economic business news for decades
27
now.
27 years. Reagan said, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Decades now.
We have the economy that Reagan said that he would create in being a service economy. And back in 1980, I wished you were around because I was screaming my head off when you said that.
We had to bleep that. Sorry. If you come on, you cannot use any of the, what is it, 7 or 8 or 9 words. Sorry about that. We'll go back to the phones. And before we do, we want everybody who's out there listening, give us a call, 303-713-7600. 303-713-7600. Here's your charge. Give us a small example of a sign of the apocalypse, and then give us a big one. A small one, a little one, a mundane one. Mine is the Chicago 7 pizza. The big one, the financial meltdown. Give us a small one, and give us a big one. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Penny in Denver. Penny.
Yes.
Hi there.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Well, I think it's interesting that in these times, big business is calling the Employee Free Choice Act Armageddon, while all it really does is helps America's working families improve their standard of living by protecting their free choice to join a union free from employer harassment or intimidation.
Well, and the business community is actually using overtly apocalyptic terms, as you mentioned. I mean, the Chamber of Commerce is saying that it will be Armageddon if Democrats try to push through the Employee Free Choice Act. So that's actually a pretty overt sign of the apocalypse when you've got business lobbies threatening political apocalypse if Congress moves to slightly increase the rights of workers. And we've been talking about this for a couple of days now, that we have a senator here in Colorado who's going to be crucial to pass or not pass the Employee Free Choice Act, Senator Michael Bennett, who has told reporters that he does not yet have a position on the Employee Free Choice Act. And I've encouraged everybody to give him a call at 866-455-9866, 866-455-9866, and tell him you want him to take a public position. And you want them to take a public position in support of the Employee Free Choice Act. But I agree with you.
It's not a subtle sign of political apocalypse if the business community is explicitly threatening, quote-unquote, Armageddon if this bill passes. Penny, thanks for the call.
Yep.
We'll try to squeeze in one more call before I got to hit another break. Let's go to Ken in Golden real quick.
Hello?
Hey there.
Hi, I'm Ken.
Hey there.
How you doing?
All right.
I've got two examples of the apocalypse.
Shoot.
One of them is, if you look in the Sunday, January 25th Denver Post, there is a picture of what is happening right now in Argentina, and it's also happening in Australia. They have dust bowls down there. And if we have what's a recurrence of what happened in the 30s, we
right.
could have a dust bowl up here north, because it did happen. You know, we always talk about the Dust Bowl, but they had it down there just same as we had here. If you look at the picture in this picture, just like I say, the Denver Post, January 25th, page 14A, it shows there's one rancher, some woman rancher down there had 500 cattle starved to death because of all the dust blown around and no moisture.
Now, right, agricultural depletion.
Percent.
Right. Pardon? Right, agricultural overproduction,
yeah,
depletion.
Well, we're at 16% right now. If you check the weather report, and we're at 16% of normal. If this continues, we're going to dry up and blow away.
Yeah, look, the fight over resources the treatment of our biosphere
right.
is absolutely at the core of all of this. I mean, global warming
is real.
Is real. And it's about the most apocalyptic phenomenon that I think shadows our whole society right now. And we'll get into later today about why there should be hope, even though we've got this apocalyptic feeling.
Absolutely.
Because I think that the fact that we're even recognizing this stuff is absolutely a good sign. What's your other side of the apocalypse?
Well, I have a book on my lap right now. It's called America's Financial Apocalypse. It was written in 2006. The author is Stathis, S-T-A-T-H-I-S. You can get it maybe from a bookstore. I got it from Amazon. And it's a quite anyway, I predict, but I don't do this a lot, but I predict the Dow to go to 3,000. I have a backup.
I don't even want to think about that.
Well,
but
it's called Reversion to the Mean.
Yeah.
And,
it's hard to imagine the Dow at 3,000. The Dow is already, I think, in apocalyptic territory. Hey, thanks for the call. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. We've been asking for you to give us a call. Tell us if you see signs of the apocalypse, small ones, little ones, mundane ones, and big ones. My mundane one, a Chicago 7 pizza, a pizza that turning a famous court case into a fast food dish. Big one? There are plenty of big ones out there. Global warming, the financial collapse.
Paying $1.25 for a soda from a pop machine?
Yeah.
Why'd they go over $1?
That's a great one. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Why $1.25?
$1.25 for that. It probably, what does it cost? 10 cents to make?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's the apocalypse is everywhere.
It is. $7
it's
beers
times.
For a basketball game.
Yeah, well, you can't take your family to a basketball game for less than what, $150
or something like that? $100 at least.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Well, is give us the traffic report. I'm fingers crossed it's not apocalyptic.
It's not apocalyptic out there. Fridays are really good for us usually, and that's the case again this morning. Just the usual jams, but nothing really slowing you down with the exception of southbound I-25 and that normal slow spot, Thornton Parkway, down to 84th Avenue. Also really filling up on eastbound 270 from York to Vasquez. Some late construction there in Centennial, Arapahoe Road at Colorado. Also eastbound I-70 around York. They have some ramp closures there, so be careful there. Your forecast, increasing clouds, cooler trend on the way with a high of 60 today. Should be windy too this afternoon. Tomorrow, chance for snow and a high of 43. On Sunday, mostly cloudy and a high of 55. Right now, 27 degrees downtown. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Get to Ralph's Shop Mini today for a great deal. Right now, every new Mini Cooper includes 3 years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Now available with special 2.9% APR financing.
Did you know that the new Climate Smart program allows Boulder County residents to install solar power with no out-of-pocket cost? Learn how you can take advantage of the Climate Smart loan program at an exclusive Boulder County Community Solar event at the Louisville Rec Center on March 18th at 7 p.m. Meet the founder and owner of Independent Power Systems, Tony Boniface, as he shares his 15 years of solar experience and answers questions about solar energy and how you can eliminate your electric bill for life. Tony will present the details of the Climate Smart program and the IPS community discount on Wednesday, March 18th at the Louisville Rec Center at 7 p.m. IPS, the Coors Field solar experts, invite you to meet Tony Boniface and learn how to eliminate your electric bill for life. For more, go to solarips.com/climate and RSVP for this free seminar. The Climate Smart Loan Program for Boulder County residents. Brought to you by Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
That they do business in. They're big supporters of AM760 and have been big supporters of my show. And I thank them for that, and I think you should patronize people locally who do spend their hard-earned money to advertise. Second of all, they have the largest selection of clean, late-model, previously owned vehicles in all of Colorado. These things are great. The selection is great, and you're bound to find something that you like. Plus, you get more bang for your auto buck. You know, you go buy a new car, oh, it smells great, and all of that. But the minute you drive it off the lot, hey, price of it sinks like a rock. Rocky's Auto's open Monday through Saturday, 9 until 8 in the evening. And drop by and see any of my friends at Rocky's. I guarantee the shopping experience will be a good one. That's Rocky's Auto's at the historic location of 63rd and Federal. You just can't miss it.
Everybody has credit card debt. Everybody. How'd you like to get rid of that debt in a day? Just go into your bedroom. Take a look in your dresser drawer. You've got unwanted gold jewelry you never wear. A single earring. Stuff you don't want. Cash it in right now with the high price of gold. You could have hundreds or thousands in cash and not even know it. Cash for Gold is absolutely the safest, easiest way to turn your unused and unwanted gold and jewelry into cash. Cash for Gold is a direct refiner of precious metals. They cut out the middleman. More cash for you. Call Cash for Gold for a free return pack. Place your items in the pack and send it back to them. They'll send you cash within 24 hours of package receipt, and your jewelry is 100% insured. Call 1-800-791-4485 or log on to cash4gold.com/radio to receive an extra 5% for your gold and jewelry. That's cash4gold.com/radio and receive 5% extra for your gold. Or call 1-800-791-4485. 1-800-791-4485.
My charge to John Turk this morning was to find as many songs referencing apocalyptic feelings as possible. And this is the Stones, and what's the song called again?
It's All Over Now.
It's All Over Now. Nice. Nice. Very good. We're talking about that apocalyptic feeling out there. What are the signs of the apocalypse you're seeing? Mundane, small, and big. That's what my column is about in the Denver Post. You can check it out at the Denver Post this morning. We'll go back to the phones. Let's go to Jamaica and Aurora. Jamaica.
Yes.
So tell us your signs of the apocalypse.
I guess my very small sign that apocalypse is pretty close is just driving in town and seeing all the abandoned commercial buildings that once used to flourish probably 7 or 5 years ago.
You mean the sort of the boarded up?
Yeah, yeah. Just
abandoned
the
feeling, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a that's creepy. I was actually down for a wedding down in on the Gulf Coast of Florida, and it's worse down there. It's really it's overpowering there. You can't drive past a strip mall. We saw one strip mall that looked completely and totally abandoned. It was really creepy.
And I guess my big one is just how we're writing off our kids.
How so?
Well, you know, last night, I don't know, there was a story on Channel 4 where a kid was involved in an altercation with his assistant principal, and it got physical. But how they reported it, it was not really, it was almost, excusing the principal for getting into a fist fight with the kid and going into this kid's juvenile record. I mean, as far as to interview young kids on camera about this guy, I mean, imagine what this kid is possibly feeling right now. Like, you know, I'm on the news. It's almost like America's Most Wanted. And the fact that we're charging our kids as adults for you know, some pretty heinous crimes, yes, but at the same time, there's got to be something else that we can do.
Well, I definitely think it's the idea of one generation mortgaging the future of another generation is unto itself pretty apocalyptic. I mean, that is pretty, and we have we've done that. We are doing that in so many different ways. When we build up a $2 trillion debt, we're essentially mortgaging. We're mortgaging the next generation for ourselves. We're spending the next generation's money for ourselves. When we destroy the environment, we're leaving the next generation a worse biosphere. And when we mistreat or misunderstand our youth in the way that you in all sorts of different ways, that is the sign of a society, I think, under severe stress.
Right. I mean, we won't even get into Octomom, but I mean, that's apocalyptic in itself as well.
Completely. It's creepy. It's bizarre.
So you can go pay for kids that you essentially can't pay for.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I mean, some signs of the apocalypse, some apocalyptic signs are those things that are just so bizarre that they just blow your mind. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Give us a call. Tell us the signs of the apocalypse you're seeing, 303-713-7600. And if you've got reasons to be hopeful that we can overcome this apocalyptic feeling, also tell us about it. Let's go to Jesse in Aurora. Jesse.
Hey, David. How are you doing this morning?
All right.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to make an earlier connection to an earlier point. The guy that was talking about Easter Island.
Right.
He was bringing an interesting point, but he didn't really elaborate on it. If you study that a little bit further, you find that Easter Island was a religious microcosm for what is happening in a lot of areas of the world today. And I don't mean this to be an attack on Christianity as a whole or individual Christians. A lot of really good friends and family who are Christians. But Christianity is based on a book that begins with God giving the world and all of its resources, including the animals and everything, to the sons of Adam. And ends with a prophecy of the end of the world that is inevitable and becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy with how we see a lot of people deal with their relationship with the world. As far as Easter Island goes, what he failed to mention was that the reason why they stripped the island of the trees was that their religion was based around the erection of these statues, which they needed the logs to move about the island, to put them in all the places that they wanted to place them. So they literally took down every tree in order to fulfill the tenets of their religion.
I didn't know that. That's really creepy and crazy. How does that relate to what's going on now?
Well, I think that we just find a lot of the time that, or at least I feel a lot of the time that Christianity uses the end of the world, that it's almost, I find this by talking to people, just individuals, that it's almost a justification that the end of the world is coming, we're living in the end of times, and there's no necessity to conserve natural resources, and there's no necessity to look for renewable sources we might as well drill for oil. You know, yeah, the end of the world is coming. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy that it's like the belief that want to see that and realize that, you know, maybe that doesn't have to mean quite literally what you think it means. and maybe it's an evolution of thought or, you know, belief system, whatever.
It's a good point. I mean, that's a very good point. This idea that gets into so many of our policies that we have to think only about the short term, only about the now, only about preserving what we have now without the need to conserve is fused, if you will, with an apocalyptic principle at its core. The drill, baby, drill. That's a perfect example. I love that example. That is, we know it's a finite resource, but we're gonna take as much of it out of the ground as possible, no matter how finite it is, no matter how much it hurts or threatens the future of this planet. That unto itself is very apocalyptic. There's a very apocalyptic assumption at the heart of that kind of political ideology, that kind of policy. And I would broaden it even further. I would say that while I supported the stimulus bill as an example, while I think we need to prime the pump of our economy, an economy that continues to be based on mostly on consumer spending, which is what our economy is based on, rather than on making things, rather than on conserving and savings. There is something apocalyptic about that, too. Something that says that the assumption is that there is no real future, and so we should just spend, spend, spend right now. There is something apocalyptic about that. Great call. Thanks for the call. We'll go to one more call before we'll take another break. Let's see who is in line. We'll go to, here we go. Jesse and Aurora. Jesse.
Yes.
How you
Can
doing?
Can I make two more points, David?
Go for it.
The second
Oh, I brought you back. My bad. Well, okay, go for it.
I appreciate it. The two other things there was that Easter Island is basically set up as a giant bowl. So from almost every point on that island, once they were stripping the trees away, they could see that they were going to take every one of those trees. And they did it anyway.
And they did it anyway. That is... I got. Where is Easter Island?
Easter Island's in the South Pacific.
It sounds like a really creepy place. When I was in Mexico City in Teotihuacan, a couple people said it had sort of an Easter Island feeling in the idea that they found it, that the Aztecs found it abandoned. I mean, that is, again, that's really creepy. And
you read up on it. There's also an interesting snippet there. There's what's called the Birdman cult that has to do with Easter Island as well. It's really fascinating. Last thing, if I can mention, I work with water, and you want to talk about depletion of natural resources. There's such a naivety build up around the conservation of water that it's absolutely unbelievable that people don't realize how important it is to protect our water supply.
Well, you know, the moment you start talking about water policy and water in general, if you talk about it for more than 30 seconds, it's really hard to avoid being overwhelmed by that apocalyptic feeling, because everybody can understand that without water, I mean, our society would probably, and we've seen it, have trouble when we have an energy crisis. But a society without water, a society with a real water crisis, it would make an energy crisis look manageable and enjoyable.
Absolutely.
People understand, it doesn't take a rocket science to understand that a society without water or in a serious water depletion is a society that is on the apocalyptic edge. Jesse, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'm David Sirota, filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Give us a call. We're talking about signs of the apocalypse. I wrote a column all about it today in the Denver Post. You can check it out there. What signs of the apocalypse are you seeing, small or large? The small one, my nomination for a small sign of the apocalypse, Old Chicago Pizza making the Chicago 7 pizza, turning a famous court case social justice court case into a fast food dish. Let's go to Janice in Aurora. Janice.
Good morning, David.
Hi
I'm
there.
Glad to hear your voice. I just love to listen to you.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
I guess probably here in Aurora what I experience most is the observation of animals. We have so many rabbits in my complex. They are afraid of most of the people here. Even when you feed them, they just seem to run from you.
Well, they're animals, though.
Right, I guess. They didn't used to run like they're running now. We also have foxes that come off of the hill where the city of Aurora has a maintenance facility that actually come right through the complex.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've had that where I live.
And, of course, the coyotes out in Greenwood Village, they're there, too. It's just, you know, and then people that have also just letting their animals run wild, not really taking care of them. It just seems quite sad to me.
Yeah.
Like there's not much hope for them.
Yeah, well, I was so bummed out to see the bill in the legislature, the puppy mill bill to crack down on puppy mills.
Yeah.
Went down, was tabled really early, and you're right. I think the way we as a society treat animals is really disturbing, and I know we're using the word a lot, but really apocalyptic. Especially when you start getting into not just you go from puppy mills, and then you start thinking about core industrial agriculture and how we treat horses and cows and pigs. And full disclosure, I don't eat very much meat.
I'm trying not to.
Yeah,
needless to say, that's a part of it too. Yeah.
I'm basically a vegetarian. I sometimes eat fish, but I don't eat red meat and I don't eat chicken. And some people may say this makes me some sort of tree hugging liberal wimp, but part of the reason I don't eat meat is because I don't like the way the animals are treated in industrial agriculture. So you're absolutely right. The way we treat not only our kids, as one other caller mentioned, but the way we treat other beings, animals, on this planet is a sign of the apocalypse. All you got to do is drive through Kansas and take a look at corporate agriculture there. And by the way, Western Kansas is one of the most, I think, just societally, one of the most apocalyptic places in the country. It's a place that looked like it used to be vibrant, a vibrant place, and it looks like in some places like a neutron bomb went off. All the buildings remain, but the people and the society are just gone. Hey, great call. Thanks for the call.
Continue your work.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Gosh, Dave, I couldn't agree with you more about Western Kansas.
Western Kansas.
Time in Garden City and McPherson, and it's
Man, that place it really looks like a neutron bomb.
I feel bad for people that live there, you know, so bad that I'd almost open up my doors if you live there to come stay with me.
Well,
you know?
And the thing about it is, man, you drive past it, and it looks like you can see that there used to be a real vibrancy out there.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it looks
little
like a Mad Max movie, right?
It does,
you know?
Yeah, it's kind of creepy.
It's really creepy.
Wow.
All right, so give us the traffic.
Traffic's looking pretty good for us. Not apocalyptic this morning. We do have the normal jams on southbound 25 at 104th, again at Park Avenue, and also the approaches into downtown on 76 and 270, but really a nice and quiet commute going on. No accidents. Still an hour into this morning's commute. Your forecast, partly cloudy, windy with highs in the low 60s. Right now, 28 degrees.
The tough economy doesn't need to affect your business's prosperity. Just maintain your current output while cutting back on fixed costs. Sound impossible? Then you haven't heard of 10 Till 2. 10 Till 2 is the cutting-edge staffing company that specializes in providing businesses just like yours with experienced college-educated part-time employees. No temps, no costly benefits, just skilled professionals. Visit 10till2.com. That's TENTILTWO.com. 10 Till 2. The time is now.
Thinking about starting a big home improvement project? Don't do it yourself. Trust a name that has more than 30 years experience. Hi, Tom Hartman here, and I want to talk to you about AAA Home Improvements. AAA is a full-service home improvement company specializing in pop-ups, additions, kitchens, and basements. They handle it all from start to finish, but don't take my word for it. Read what their satisfied customers have said at aaahomeimprovements.com. AAA Home Improvements, 720-981-4269. 720-981-4269.
Be with us and support life-saving research at City of Hope. Find out more at whodoyoupinkfor.com.
For fresh, delicious New York-style sandwiches you'll crave, it's Deli Zone. Come in today and get a New York-style sub for only $4.99. For a slice of New York in your backyard, find a Deli Zone near you at DeliZone.net.
Armageddon days are here to stay by the. That's what you're listening to. I'm David Sirota here on what's turning out to be a crisp morning here in Denver, not apocalyptic. Give us a call, 303-713-7600. We're talking about any signs of the apocalypse that you're seeing, that apocalyptic feeling out there. That's what I wrote about in my column in the Denver Post. Full warning, the column is maybe a bit of a downer, but I'm trying to make my columns not every week a policy argument. I'm trying to sometimes make it just a little bit of some social observation with some entertainment. You'll see there's a lot of pop culture references in there. Let's do a couple more calls before the top of the hour, the news at the top of the hour. Let's go to Julie in Longmont. Julie.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, I shouldn't say good morning. This is supposed to be depressing. You guys
no,
are making
no,
me
no.
nuts.
You know, it's not. I mean, the other side of this coin, right, is that with great trouble comes great opportunity, right?
Yes.
When times of where the apocalyptic feeling is all around us, that's when we got to rise to the occasion.
Well, I'm the one going there saying, can we try to turn this around now in this conversation? I didn't get a chance to read your article. I don't get the Denver Post in the morning. But the thing that frightens me the most is listening to people who usually are the party of ideas, you know, coming up with, oh, this is awful and ain't it awful and piling on and I'm not going there. It's like I don't have examples for you except what's going on this morning. It sounds too much like Donald Rumsfeld from way back when going, oh, Henny Penny, you know, this is bad and this is whatever goofy thing he was doing 5 or 6 years ago when he sounded like, you know, the sky is falling. And I can't help but think, I mean, people might label me as a goofball, but, you know, it seems like all the things that we allowed, our part in it over the last 8 years is that we allowed the goofy fringe Republicans that were in charge to do all the things they did that brought us to this place. So my hope, where you are going with that, the way that I try to look at things is if as long as we are aware, as long, you know, people are identifying things when they call into you. So if we're aware of the things that we're seeing, then that means we also can come up with ways to fix it, change it, improve it, rather than sitting there waiting for it to happen. But I'm afraid, listening to so many people get in on this, that, you know, those who might not call in are the ones who are literally going to jump off the roof. And it's like, we got put in some hope here with this conversation because I don't want to go there. I think we have enough in ourselves as human beings to come up with ways to get ourselves out of the mess we're in. But we do have to start with, I think where you're trying to go is identifying what are the issues, what are the serious conditions out there. We can't turn a blind eye to the environmental conditions. We can't turn a blind eye to the financial conditions. But if we sit there piling on saying, oh, ain't it awful, people don't come up with solutions or ideas.
Well, I agree in the sense that there's the reason to have the discussion is both to bring out people's feeling about something that's difficult to talk about. Let me put it this way. I get the sense from just talking to people who are not in politics, just people all over the place, that there is a huge amount of concern and worry and feeling like we're at some sort of seminal end of the old world moment. And it's very frightening and it's hard to talk about. And, you know, some people sometimes feel a little crazy. Like, well, maybe I'm going crazy. Maybe I'm just, you know, this feeling means that I'm crazy. And so the part of the reason to talk about it is to say, hey, we're all feeling this way. A lot of us are feeling this way. And to poke a little fun at it. I mean, obviously, yeah, Chicago 7 pizza is not really a sign of the apocalypse, but it gets to a deeper point. You can poke fun at it. Now,
right.
It's not to say that there shouldn't be any hope. It's not to just sit there and say, well, we should throw up our hands. And that's actually the end of the column without ruining it. The end of the column says if we don't wake up out of this, if we throw up our hands and simply say, well, things are going crazy, you know, let's just live it up or let's just not do anything about it, then things really will get to a point where it's not just apocalyptic, the feeling, but we're actually dealing with some kind of real apocalypse. Great call. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're going to go to the hope part of this in the next hour, talking about fixing some of the apocalyptic things that are going on in our economy. Back after the news.
Presenting another compelling identity theft metaphor, brought to you by Identity Guard. Today, the banquet.
When it comes to identity theft protection, a credit report is like an appetizer, just the first part of something good. But if you didn't order it from Identity Guard, you may discover that there's no more food showing up. You see, with Identity Guard, you get an entire banquet of 21st century tools and technologies. All this from the company that's already protected over 20 million people. And that's a lot of money not going into the hands of worldwide identity thieves. So, get Identity Guard today and settle in for a feast of identity theft protection.
Don't be a victim of online identity theft. Get Identity Guard. Serious 21st century stuff for 21st century crime. Sign up now and get the added security of your personal password protector, ID Vault. A $50 value. Free plus shipping and handling. Call 877-600-2669 now. That's 877-600-2669. Or visit identityguard.com.
They require long drives, a bitter pill for people who've worked their whole lives in manufacturing here.
For now, at least Wall Street is taking the jobs report in stride. Just ahead of the bell, S&P futures are up 6.5 points. Cleveland police are scouring the city, but so far they haven't found the gunman wanted for killing four children and his wife. WOIO-TV's Shannon O'Brien has the latest.
They were tracking him earlier by cell phone pings, and he made several cell phone calls, one of which we understand was to his ex-wife. His ex-wife telling homicide detectives that Davon Crawford told her he killed his family and he was going to kill himself.
Banks will have to pay higher deposit insurance premiums, but maybe not as high as first feared. Live to CBS's Steve Knight. What's the latest, Steve?
Frank, the FDIC a week ago required that banks' premiums for deposit insurance be increased to 20 cents for every $100 deposited. Now, FDIC Chairwoman Sheila Bair says they'll cut that in half if the Treasury Department increases the FDIC's line of credit from $30 billion to $100 billion. Senate Banking Committee Chairman Christopher Dodd has authored legislation to do that. The offer of lower premiums is thought to improve chances that a housing rescue bill will pass the Senate. Frank?
A cross-country caravan to raise support for homeowners facing foreclosure leaves California today. Rosario Friese, who could lose her home, hopes to tell her story to government officials when she gets to Washington.
We want to tell them that we have enough. We need to do something drastic to solve this problem.
A big city newspaper that's struggling for survival may become an online-only publication. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer is offering some of its workers provisional jobs with the electronic operation. Reporter Hector Castro says he'd have to give up a lot just to keep working.
Pay cut, less medical benefits, loss of my vacation, and loss of my severance package that I'd be getting when I get laid off here.
The name of a troubled singer is back on the police blotter. London police have charged Amy Winehouse with assault for allegedly hitting a fan during a dust-up in Berkeley Square last year. Peter Tork of the Monkees says he's recovering from surgery for cancer of the tongue. He says his prognosis is good. This is CBS News.
Today, just about every ad you hear will mention saving you money, yet very few of them offer a really good deal. Well, Sprint's about to change that. Business customers can buy one Motorola i576 for $69.99 and get up to four free. All with Nextel Direct Connect, the fastest national push-to-talk network. Call 1-800-NEXTEL-9, only on the Now Network. Fastest based on initial call setup time. Not available on all channels. See Sprint stores for availability. Ends 4/18/09. Subject to two-year agreement up to $36 activation, $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit per line. Restrictions apply.
Employers, did you know you can verify a new hire's legal work status quickly and securely with E-Verify? Simple and easy. E-Verify helps employers confirm the work eligibility of all new hires, U.S. citizens and non-U.S. citizens alike. E-Verify is a free web-based system that matches your new hire's information against government databases. Visit us at www.dhs.gov/e-verify. E-Verify from the Department of Homeland Security.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. About 1,000 people attended a forum featuring professor and former 60s radical William Ayers and former CU professor Ward Churchill. Gregory Carlson with Young Republicans said he had to be there. He spoke with 9 News.
We don't believe that somebody who bombs government buildings and has no background in academic freedom should be able to talk to impressionable young students about something that they have no background in.
Ayers was the co-founder of the radical anti-Vietnam War group, the Weather Underground. That forum was at CU last night. Former Broncos players Reggie Rivers and Rod Bernstein were players at a gambling club whose operators are under indictment. That, according to 9 News and the Denver Post, it left some players deep in debt and caused 2 members to commit suicide.
I think that the closure of that place helped a lot of people that were in some minor or major degree of either financial or mental trouble.
That former player talking with 9 News, about 100 high rollers were part of the Gin Rummy Club on South Broadway. Congressman Mike Kaufman plans to appear in person today to answer ethics charges in the first hearing by the State Independent Ethics Commission. Kaufman's been accused by a watchdog group of ethical conflict of interest violations while he was Colorado's Secretary of State. Colorado Ethics Watch says Kaufman wrongly awarded a voting contract to a firm that used a consulting firm that he also used. And Denver ranks near the top when it comes to America's manliest cities. The Mile High City is number 5. The survey comes from the folks who do those best places lists. It measured factors like power tools per capita, number of sports bars and sport cars. Cities lost points for lots of home furnishing stores. Nashville was number 1. New York, the last and least manliest city. Sports, the Nuggets beat Portland 106-90. They head to Utah tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Other than a crash on 270 right around York, it's been a quiet morning commute. There will be some heavy pockets on C-470 as you're heading east past University. Sun glare and volume are combining to slow things down into the 30s and 40s. There's also some slight slowdowns on the westbound side of 76 coming up on 74th. But the good news is no big-time delays. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Save thousands during the Pinnacle at City Park South Tower 1 closeout sale. One-bedroom home started just $299,900. 2 bedrooms from $399,900. See the furnished models at 17th and Fillmore.
Looking for a market-proof vest? Try this on for size. A market-proof CD from GMAC Bank. It's FDIC insured. And better yet, our 12-month CD has a 2.95% annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available, and it guarantees your money makes money. Lock in now. Go to GMACBank.com/radio or call 1-800-490-GMAC. Open a CD with as little as $500 and feel confident knowing your money's wearing body armor. GMAC Bank. Smart, simple, safe. Member FDIC.
I really want to compliment you.
I want to compliment you.
I'm a conservative, but I really want to compliment you and your show.
Jay Marvin. This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 on this beautiful, yet another beautiful Colorado morning. One thing that is not apocalyptic is the weather in this state. It's a big secret. I mean, we get a lot of snow, but as weather goes, I've lived all over the country. This is pretty darn good, what we get here. The winters are fairly mild, and I say that as somebody who's lived in Chicago and Montana, so that's my relative framework. We've been talking earlier in the morning, the first hour, about signs of the apocalypse. I wrote a column this morning in the Denver Post and in newspapers across the country about how this moment feels very apocalyptic, that it feels like it's the end of the world. Or at least the end of the world as we've known that world. And one of the issues that is the most apocalyptic, I submit to you, is that we in the United States are a society that still does not provide basic health care to its citizens. And in many cases, to its children. That is, its next generation. That's pretty apocalyptic. But the good news is, and the last caller we took in the last hour asked about, well, shouldn't we have hope? Where is the hope? Well, there is some hope, because at moments of great peril and great crisis has often come great achievement and great opportunity. The Great Depression was clearly one of the biggest and most apocalyptic moments in our country's history, and out of that came the New Deal, Social Security, et cetera, et cetera. So there is the flip side of this, is that out of this cauldron can come something really, really important. And the president yesterday, President Obama, kicked off the push, a new push for universal health care. And I want to play some of the clips, or at least one clip, from him and what he said at his summit yesterday about why now is the time. Now, at this time, at this apocalyptic moment, why now is the time, more than ever, to push for health care.
I know people are skeptical about whether Washington can bring about this change. Our inability to reform health care in the past is just one example of how special interests have had their way, and the public interest has fallen by the wayside. And I know people are afraid we'll draw the same old lines in the sand and give in to the same entrenched interests and arrive back at the same stalemate that we've been stuck in for decades. But I'm here today, and I believe you are here today, because this time is different. This time, the call for reform is coming from the bottom up and from all across the spectrum, from doctors, from nurses, from patients, from unions, from businesses, from hospitals, healthcare providers, community groups. It's coming from mayors and governors and legislatures, Democrats, Republicans, all who are racing ahead of Washington to pass bold healthcare initiatives on their own. This time, there is no debate about whether all Americans should have quality, affordable health care. The only question is how.
That was President Obama yesterday at the summit. And I want to see if we can, before we bring on our next guest, I want to see if we can pull up the comment about what he said about there's always a reason not to do it. Do you have that?
But the one thing that I've got to say here, there's been some talk about the notion that maybe we're taking on too much, right? That we're in the midst of an economic crisis and that the system is overloaded, and so we should put this off for another day. Well, let's just be clear. When times were good, we didn't get it done. When we had mild recessions, we didn't get it done. When we were in peacetime, we did not get it done. When we were at war, we did not get it done. There is always a reason not to do it. And it strikes me that now is exactly the time for us to deal with this problem.
Now, I love this. I mean, this is exactly the message that I think is most important to hear at a time when people feel so frightened and worried about the future. That's exactly the message we need to hear. And I've asked our next guest to come on. We're going to talk to Roger Hickey at the Center, the Campaign for America's Future, who I work with as a fellow there. And Roger has been a longtime advocate on healthcare. He's been through all of the healthcare wars in Washington. Roger, how you doing?
Good morning, David. Great to be with you and your audience.
Thanks for taking the time. So tell us what it was like to be there yesterday, what the feeling was in the room. And my big question is, what is different about the push that's going to come up for healthcare now? What has changed so that we can that should make us feel that this push has got the best chance of success than we've ever had?
Well, David, yesterday at the White House, the president really declared that he was going all out to get health care for all Americans in the coming year. And that's a major, major declaration for him. I've got to admit that even some of us who who have been strong supporters of his and have organized a big coalition on health care called Healthcare for America Now. We were worried only a few weeks ago that the administration would back off and say, we'll do health care another day. It's too complicated, as he was saying, too many other things on the plate. At his budget message, where he presented a health care plan of $600 billion, and at this White House event, he made it very, very clear that this is the year, this is the time that he is going to lead an effort backed up by a huge number of grassroots groups. And I think that's one of the big changes, is that a huge number, we have 800 groups nationally and locally, are working hard in every congressional district to make this happen. And the reality is that he had a mandate. When President Obama was elected, the voters thought they were voting for a guy who would get health care done. And the reason the voters want that is that the health care crisis, along with the economic crisis, means that more and more people are hurting. More and more people are losing their health care, seeing huge increases in cost of their health care. And so there's what's really different, to answer your question, is that there's a huge American lobby, a citizen's demand for health care this time.
What will be the most perilous part of this political campaign that's going to be waged over the next few weeks, months, and years for health care? Nobody wants to be on record, and not even many businesses want to be on record saying that they're against universal health care. We've gotten to the point, I think, at least rhetorically, where everybody portrays themselves as for some kind of universal health care coverage. But that doesn't mean that there's not going to be forces out there trying to either stop or seriously water down good policy. So what are the obstacles that are going to be in front of this push? What should people who are trying to follow the healthcare debate, what should be their red flags when they see somebody say, oh, that, now those are the bad guys, or that's the bad policy?
Well, you're absolutely right, David. Yesterday at the White House, the Health Insurance Association got up and said, we're not going to oppose health care reform this time. We want our version of health care reform. The Federation of Independent Business, which did the Harry and Louise ads last time to stop Clinton's health care plan, they got up and said, we are in favor of health care. The question, and that's a big accomplishment, the question is, what kind of health care? To put it bluntly, are we going to just throw money at the private insurance industry, which is clearly not working for millions and millions of Americans? Are we just going to ask the health insurance industry, the private industry, to cover everybody, no matter what the cost? Or are we going to insist on a government yardstick public plan, a public insurance program that can compete against the private insurance and provide perhaps better service and lower costs? That's the fundamental question that got raised at the White House yesterday.
Is the fear among private insurers, we talked about this yesterday and off a post that I did over at the Campaign for America's Future's website, ourfuture.org, this idea that conservatives and the healthcare industry are simultaneously saying that free market health insurance is so, they claim it's so clearly and obviously better, more efficient, and people like it more, yet they're worried, deathly worried, that if that free market health insurance has to compete with public insurance, it will lose the competition. Is that because they fear that Americans, if given the choice, will choose the government program?
Well, clearly, the private sector, which has done so badly, leaving 47 million people uninsured and prices going through the ceiling, They would like to stay in charge of our health care plan, even though that they are part of the problem. And Senator Grassley put it very clearly to the president yesterday. A lot of us feel that the public option, that the government is an unfair competitor, and the government will crowd out the private industry. That shows that Senator Grassley is not too confident in the ability of the great private sector, as you put in your blog post the other day, that the conservatives are not too confident that the private sector can compete.
It's pretty incredible because they base their whole economic argument on the idea that the free market will always do better than the government. If that's so clear, then they should welcome a competition.
They should, but of course, you know, when we started Medicare, nobody thought that the senior citizen population could make a profit for the private sector. That's why we created a public Medicare system. We didn't ask the private sector to come in there. And where the private sector has come into Medicare, they've demanded and gotten huge additional subsidies, more than Medicare gets paid in the Medicare Advantage program, something that Obama has pledged to end. So President Obama is a firm believer in a level playing field. Let the private sector compete with an efficient Medicare-style healthcare system for the rest of us. And the president is emphasizing choice, and a choice that forces overall prices in the healthcare system down.
Roger, we're talking to Roger Hickey here at the Campaign for America's Future. Where can people find, where's the best place that people can track the healthcare fight?
Well, two places. One, the blog where you post on a regular basis, ourfuture.org, www.ourfuture.org. And the coalition that we are a part of, healthcareforamericanow.org. Healthcareforamericanow.org is the home page of the massive coalition of 800 groups that we have put together to make sure that we get the right kind of healthcare reform in the coming year.
And it's going to take a lot of pressure, especially in states like Colorado, where we've got obviously two senators, a decently sized congressional delegation. It's going to require a lot of pressure from swing states like Colorado. Roger Hickey from the Campaign for America's Future, thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
Thank you, David.
I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. We started in the first hour talking about signs of the apocalypse. My column in the Denver Post today is all about those signs. But with apocalypse, with the feeling, the apocalyptic feeling in our country and in our world right now, there is, I think, chance for great opportunity. The Great Depression was a huge moment of economic apocalypse in our country, and out of it came great things. Call us up, 303-713-7600. Tell us the signs of the apocalypse you're seeing, small or large, and why, if you believe so, why you think there's reason to hope. Hopefully there's reason to hope, at least on the roads right now, with traffic. John?
There is, David. Pretty nice and light for us as Fridays usually are. Got one accident, eastbound 270 at York. That's causing some backups to around Interstate 76. Also a struggle coming southbound on 25 from 104 to 84. Seeing speeds dip into the 30s there in that stretch. Also be careful on 225 this morning. Reports of some speed traps there. So a lot of police activity in between 70 and 25 on 225. Speeds are still pretty decent, though, both for northbounders and southbounders, but we do have some heavy volumes there around Parker Road. Your forecast, increasing clouds and cooler trend on the way. Look for a high of 60 today. Should be windy, too. Tomorrow, a chance for snow and a high of 43. And on Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high of 55. Right now, 27 degrees.
Putting the magic into Irvin Johnson took a lot of hard work, but the reward was worth it. Your hard work is rewarded at Rent-A-Center. Find the good stuff your family wants from Sony, Ashley, Whirlpool, and more. No credit checks, no credit needed. And it's all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Nice to know Rent-A-Center's working hard for you.
Money-back guarantee must be exercised within the first week of possession. See rentacenter.com for complete details.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney. Finalized a contract in London and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code ONLINE to get a free trial and a free retractable VoIP headset, too. Remember that code, ONLINE, to qualify for the free VoIP headset. WebEx, now part of Cisco. Used by over 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try. Free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code ONLINE. WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Find a location near you. Visit DeliZone.net.
Who do you ping for? I ping for my mom, my friend Linda, and my cousin Rhonda. 1 in 3 women are diagnosed with cancer, so we all ping for someone. Now you can ping with us and support life-saving research at City of Hope. Find out more at whodoyoupingfor.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
Do I think things will get better? Yes.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
We're very happy for that.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
We are an awesome people.
AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk.
Over here on the left.
AM760.net.
Good day.
Here in what's turning out to be another nice day here in Denver. 303-713-7600. I put up on my Facebook page and on my Twitter feed asking for people to send in their signs of the apocalypse. My Twitter feed is www.twitter.com/DavidSirota, DavidSirota. Facebook, just search my name, you'll find me. And if you put up your signs of the apocalypse, I'll read them out. You can also go to openleft.com, where I've done a blog post about this. Let's read a couple here. Here's one from my buddy Chris Hayes, sign of the apocalypse. New unemployment numbers, they're up to 8.1%. Unemployment is up to 8.1% today. That's the highest since 1983. That's pretty apocalyptic. Here's a guy or gal named Mode Knit, saying that the sign of the apocalypse is Daniel Shore on Twitter. Daniel Shore, the longtime legendary NPR reporter. I think he's in his 80s or 90s. So him on Twitter, that's a sign of the apocalypse. Paul on Facebook says, the winterless winter here in Denver, what will the southwestern United States do when there's no water coming from the Colorado River? Bill Wetzel on Facebook says a sign of the apocalypse is that no Republican has apologized to Limbaugh yet today. That's pretty good.
Dave, I got a good audio clip of a sign of the apocalypse, and it has to do with all the healthcare stuff.
Go for it.
It's, I guess his name is Representative Zach Womp.
Oh, yeah, I know this one, yeah.
From Tennessee.
Yeah, fire it up.
All right, here it is.
Listen, health care is a privilege. I do think that in some populations...
Well, it's a privilege, health care. I mean, if you have cancer right now, do you see it as a privilege to get some treatment?
I was just about to finish to say that for some people it's a right, but for everyone, frankly, it's not necessarily a right.
That's a congressman from Tennessee. That's a federal official from Tennessee, Zach Womp, going on television and saying that in the richest country on earth, that it should not be a right, health care for, as the other person he was talking to mentioned, health care for somebody who has cancer should not be a right.
And it's an apocalypse that there's people like this that are actually elected.
I mean, they're elected in positions of power making policy.
And how about this gal, what's her name, Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson? You familiar with her?
Yeah.
You want to hear this
one?
Yeah,
sure, go for it.
Senator, do you believe that it's necessary to postpone our nation's answers for health care because it costs too much?
I do. I certainly do. And I think that, again, going into this nationalized health care, the universal health care, takes it out of the private sector. And, again, that's jobs.
It's non sequiturish. I mean, that is a non sequitur. you take it out of the private sector, it means that will hurt jobs. Well, what about the jobs? What about people who work in and around the Medicare system? I guess they don't have jobs. I guess that doesn't count as a job. If you're a right-wing conservative, you don't consider that a job. Michael Steele, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, said a government job or any job related to the government is not a job. I don't know what you can do other than just throw up your hands and realize that we, in many cases, we are ruled by lunatics. Let's go back to the phones. Signs of the apocalypse. Tell us what your signs of the apocalypse are, small or large. 303-713-7600. Let's go to Mick in Denver. Mick.
Good morning, David.
Hey there.
David, great show again.
Thanks.
Signs of the apocalypse. Small one for me, but it's a very hurtful one, is that I remember the days when you used to be able to go to a baseball game anytime you wanted, spend a relatively small amount of money, even though it was, you know, for the economy in those days, it was a little larger, but it didn't hurt because people were working. People were out there working and being able to enjoy things like going to baseball games with their kids. And you look at the prices today, it's priced so far out of the market anymore, you know, that only the privileged few really can go irregardless of sellouts and stuff when, say, the Yankees come here to play the Rockies.
I think the inflation in professional sports and how unaffordable it's become is a cultural sign of the apocalypse.
It is.
Because sports, mass professional sports, especially, by the way, the big stadium sports, you can sort of get the idea that basketball or hockey may cost a little more because there's only a much smaller arena they have to play in, so there's less seats. Supply and demand might drive prices up. But yet for baseball or for football, with these huge stadiums and how much it now costs to go take in what used to be if not a community event, then at least a mass event, that is, I think.
Well, it was, David. The Roman Empire, bread and circuses, you know, which was actually a bad thing, but, you know, it brought the community together. You know, people that didn't see each other for long periods of time would see each other there. You know, shift over to the large signs. We've had a lot of false prophets out there, and I could give you a whole list of names. But at best, Rush Limbaugh is one of those big false prophets. I really think he's the Antichrist.
I love that framing. That's a really good way of putting it. False prophets. False prophets tend to mark, of course, apocalyptic times.
Exactly. You have a listing of people that today, when you look at the, you know, especially the right wing noise machine and all, and what you've just heard there, you know, John putting up, to, you know, two things about health care and how it's framed by you know, the conservatives. I don't have time for the conservatives, to be very honest with you. And I don't believe in the apocalypse. I don't think we're at the apocalyptic edge because we've had so many times. The year 1000, the world was supposed to come to an end. Did it? No, it did not. It actually brought upon the Middle Ages, which brought upon the Renaissance, which brought upon then later on the Age of Enlightenment and all. So I don't really believe.
I agree. I mean, I don't think that we are. I don't think that we're actually going to hit the apocalypse. And apocalypse is a relative term. The Great Depression was unto itself, I think, a version of an apocalypse.
Yes.
It was an economic apocalypse. And I don't think that we're at a point where the world will end and nothing will come out of it. I think the old world, the world that we used to live in, is ending, and there is that apocalyptic feel out there, that feel that we're looking over into the edge of an abyss, and there's all these little examples and these big examples, and so I think it's a moment of that's frightening, but I think it's also fraught with it. There's a part of us that should be feeling very excited. So apocalypse isn't necessarily all bad, but it certainly is really scary. Mick, thanks for the call.
All right, David. Good show.
Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Nancy. Nancy in Denver.
Hi, David.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to talk about the little things. The disappearance of our honeybees, frogs that are disappearing, and now I understand from reading that our bat population is becoming decimated, which will in turn implode our insects.
Well, when you start to, I'll give you this. When you start to look at I think the ecosystem. Anytime you look at the ecosystem of late, that's I think some of the most apocalyptic and depressing, frankly, stuff. With not a lot of upside. Meaning, when you look at the economic apocalypse that's happening, there's a big potential that we're going to get a lot of change in the economic and financial regulations and the healthcare system that changes things around. With great crisis comes great opportunity. When you look at, you're right, the species populations at basic environmental metrics, we can fix a healthcare system in 2, 3, 4, 5 years. You can't fix a planet in 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And that's what starts to get really scary.
Exactly. Because they're kind of the least among us that we think about.
Then they don't have a voice. Right.
In such a way that, you know, like pollinating our fruits and vegetables and so on and so forth. And then, I mean, you're going to see just a huge explosion of insects if our bats go.
Yeah, that's why it's so frightening, is because on environmental and ecological issues have a chain reaction that can really, really hit us in ways that we don't even initially think about. Great point, Nancy. Great call. Thanks for the call. I'm David Sirota, filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We've been talking about the apocalypse, the apocalyptic feeling that seems to pervade the world right now, pervade the mood.
It's like the pine beetle in our own backyard, Dave.
It's like the pine beetle everywhere, man.
Yeah.
And it's scary. It can be depressing. But I still think, again, with great crisis comes great opportunity. So we're looking over the abyss. It's scary, but I think we should also be excited. And let's hope that traffic remains, at least on this Friday, not too apocalyptic. John?
It's not too apocalyptic around the Denver area, but now we got a big problem in Thornton, a multi-vehicle crash on the southbound side of 25, right there at Thornton Parkway. It's blocking the right-hand lane and the right-hand side of the freeway there. Already seeing backups to 120th, and those will grow. Also going to be busy for you downtown after Park Avenue, but speed's a little better than we're used to seeing due to Fridays being a little lighter. Pretty quiet commute going on right now. Checking speed traps, though, on 225 between 70 and the Tech Center. Your forecast, partly cloudy and windy, highs in the low 60s. Right now, 27 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
What's great about the iPhone is that if you want to listen to AM 760 while you're away from your radio, there's an app for that. Yep, on AM760.net. It's Colorado's Progressive Talk on your iPhone.
I'm a mother. It's my nature to protect my daughter. So when she told me she wanted to join the Guard, my gut reaction was to worry for her safety.
But I've always trusted my son and supported his decisions. So as hard as it was to imagine my son being a soldier, it was harder to imagine his future without the Guard.
The Guard will give her money for college, real-world job skills.
And I'm proud of him.
Your son or daughter can serve your community in the National Guard. Call 1-800-GO-GUARD and ask about the job skills they'll gain.
Sponsored by the Colorado National Guard, or by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and the station.
Hi, this is Jay Marvin. Let me give you some reasons why you should shop at Rocky's Autos. Number one, they're locally owned and operated, and they care about the community that they do business in. They're big supporters of AM 760 and have been big supporters of my show, and I thank them for that, and I think you should patronize people locally who do spend their hard-earned money to advertise. Second of all, they have the largest selection of clean, late model, previously owned vehicles in all of Colorado. These things are great. The selection is great, and you're bound to find something that you like. Plus, you get more bang for your auto buck. You know, you go buy a new car, oh, it smells great, and all of that. But the minute you drive it off the lot Hey, price of it sinks like a rock. Rocky's Auto's open Monday through Saturday, 9 until 8 in the evening. And drop by and see any of my friends at Rocky's. I guarantee the shopping experience will be a good one. That's Rocky's Auto's at the historic location of 63rd and Federal. You just can't miss it.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. We've been talking about that apocalyptic feeling out there. I wrote a Denver Post column on this. It's out in newspapers all over the country, including the Denver Post. It also runs in the Colorado Springs Gazette, the Vail Daily, the Summit County Daily. And I didn't mean it to be too depressing. I just think that, you know, I took a trip to Mexico City and I sat on top of the Pyramid of the Sun, looked out on this ancient city that had been found abandoned and nobody knew what happened to its inhabitants. And it was a really, I finally came to that word that I've been looking for to describe that mood out there. And the word that I came up with was apocalypse. And so we've been talking this morning about what signs of the apocalypse you're seeing, and the guests that we've had on are those who are telling us what good could potentially come out of this apocalyptic feeling. Because there is a good that can come out of this. The Great Depression, a great economic apocalypse, if you will, created ultimately all sorts of good stuff. So there is the flip side of this. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Mike in Denver. Mike.
Good morning, David.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Not too bad. How's it getting up this early in the morning for you?
Well, you know, suddenly getting up 3 hours earlier or 2 hours earlier, this morning I was a little late, so maybe an hour and a half earlier than I usually get up. It knocks your body clock off a little bit.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I got a couple of signs, a medium size and then a small, almost funny one that I saw on TV the other day. The medium size one is one that, well, you and me can both observe as we walk around the neighborhood. I used to think it was a sign of the apocalypse that developers were scraping off perfectly adequate houses and building these, you know, monster McMansions. I mean, I expect that in the suburbs, but then when that sort of trend started creeping into, you know, middle-class neighborhoods in the city, I was like, there's something really wrong that, like, the trend of Americans is to have smaller families, but yet we're like doubling the size of our houses.
That is, and
the waste involved with that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And not to mention all the landfill stuff that, like, you know, all the building that gets torn down, probably 90% of it ends up in the landfill. That to me was a sign of the apocalypse, but now, like, part B of that is that now as you walk around the same neighborhoods, all these scrape off houses are all in foreclosure because nobody's buying them. So I think that's like a sign of the economic, and then the fact that nobody's buying them, they're all for sale, but yet their developers are still doing it. They're still knocking down the houses.
It's real. That cycle is totally bizarre, right? You're totally right. The convergence of it all, when you tear down the waste of resources, and then you can't sell it, and then they're still building more of them. It's like the world, that section of the economy has gone completely crazy.
What's funny is I used to say, like, what bank in their right mind is lending these people the money? Because, you know, most of these, especially all the ones that are in foreclosure, obviously they were purely spec builds. And so, spec being short for speculation, that other dirty word that we heard from last summer. But, you know, I was like, who's lending them the money to buy these houses and who's giving these people construction loans? Like, and now I realize, well, that was kind of one of those symptoms of those banks like WaMu, who are just basically pushing loans out the door to anybody who with a pulse.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the fact, what's amazing to me about it is, it's one thing if one speculator gets something wrong, right? One investor, an individual, but the idea that there was a whole industry of thousands of people that were supposed to have controls and vetting, that there's a whole industry that was doing this is The insanity was effectively institutionalized. It was a system of insanity. That is what is really, really upsetting about this is that it was really institutionalized, a business, a whole business model based on insanity. Okay, real quick, tell us your you said you had a small example.
I saw on Keith Olbermann the other night that some company has made a product called Baconaise, which is a combination of bacon and mayonnaise. And then he also noted that they also make a light version.
Man, so you could just, it's almost like you could have like
a BLT with
no bacon or, so just, you just put what, lettuce, tomato, and baconaise. What's next? It's going to be like, it's like a sci-fi movie where all you got to do is eat a pill and you'll feel like you've eaten a cheeseburger or something like that.
So you were halfway there.
Yeah, right. There we go.
For bacon and mayonnaise fans, that's like a sign of good things to come, isn't it?
I guess. I mean, maybe the people who create... I wonder if people thought it was apocalyptic when they created Russian dressing. Right? Russian dressing is what? Pickles, a little bit of pickles, ketchup, and mustard.
Ketchup and mayonnaise, basically.
Ketchup and mayonnaise, right?
Sure.
I wonder if that was people saw that as an apocalyptic sign. Maybe they did call it Russian dressing, and as we all know, the history of Russia is sort of an apocalyptic history, so maybe that was a sign of the apocalypse.
Russian dressing, the red menace.
Exactly. Hey, Mike, good to talk to you. Thanks for the call, man. I'll see you soon.
Always a pleasure, David. Take care.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Give us a call, 303-713-7600. Tell us what signs of the apocalypse you're seeing, small or large. Small, my small sign, a Chicago 7 pizza. A pizza company, Old Chicago Pizza, creating a fast food dish out of a famous social justice court case. My buddy Mike from my neighborhood gave us a call just now, told us his small sign of the apocalypse is that he saw that they're creating a product called Baconaise. That's pretty apocalyptic if you ask me. Although I wonder if Russian dressing, when Russian dressing came out, people said the same thing. So give us a ring, 303-713-7600. We'll take all your calls. It's 7:45 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's go to, we ready for traffic? No, maybe not. We're not. Maybe we're not ready for traffic. All right, we'll take another call. Okay, good. We don't have to take through traffic yet. Let's see, who's been waiting the longest? We'll go to Doug. Doug in Westminster.
Good morning, David.
Hey there.
This is a great show this morning.
Thanks, man.
I mean, jokingly and sadly. I got a couple here. One, of course, the last one being serious, but the first one is Amy Winehouse, man, back in the news.
Yeah.
You know, I just wrote a song here real quick called The Dems Want to Give Me Health Care, but Pubs Say No, No, No.
Not bad, man. Not bad. You got a future.
And the other one is New and Improved Spam. That's pretty apocalyptic.
Email spam or spam?
No.
Actual spam.
Yeah, they're producing 400 cans a minute, and that's one of the industries that they're hiring left and right.
Of new and improved spam, or just general spam, and because you're saying because they're producing more,
it's
like a cheap food.
They're just cramming it out the door. You can't believe how fast. 400 cans a minute.
And that, you're right. I mean, that is, I never thought of it that way. That's kind of like if you heard that they were producing sardines, right? Because sardines in the cans were at least in the 30s was the food of destitution,
yeah.
If you will. Yeah, man, that's pretty weird.
And I'm not sure if spam's going to trump the Baconaise, but it's right up there with it.
Yeah, but spam, you know, spam's more iconic, right? Spam really is iconic of I don't know, it's got that symbol of like it's food for when you need to forage.
Right.
For food, man. Good points, man. Good call.
Well, just real quick,
yeah.
The serious part of apocalyptic feeling is just one word called denial. When everybody says, oh, no, not this. No, you're crazy. No, it's never going to happen. And then things do happen. I don't care if it's little or big. When people are in a major denial mode and you can't convince them, to me, in a sense, that's just blocking all the bad stuff out and just wanting it to happen.
Yeah, well, you know, I point that out in the column, this idea that you've got financial executives quoted in major newspapers saying $500,000 is not a lot of money.
Yeah,
not really.
That is a real kind of denial. You got Rick Santelli, the CNBC guy, standing up and berating people who are getting foreclosed on as they're losers and we should just ignore them. That is a kind of denial of the cataclysm going on across the country. And as I say in the column, that is that kind of attitude actually pervades the legends and mythologies and histories of end times, right? You have sort of partying at the end of the world. In the Great Depression, the Daddy Warbuckses, you had most people in poverty, but you did have a small, tiny elite that was living large. And that is, that unto itself really, I think, pervades those end times and creates that feeling that right now is one of those apocalyptic times. Hey, man, thanks for calling.
Have a good weekend.
Okay. Let's do one more call before we got to get to another break. Let's do Pete in Denver. Hit the button here. Pete.
Good.
Hey there.
Hey, very good show.
Thanks.
I always love it when you're on.
Thanks, man.
Like you, I don't really believe in the biblical version of the apocalypse. But
right.
I really think that we have cycled back into this dark age, like another caller mentioned. And I think it happened just about when Carl Sagan died and the popularism of science kind of got overrun by the puritanicalism of, you know, the ultra-right.
I never thought about connecting it to Sagan's death, but you're definitely right. One thing, and this is a sort of a slower symbol because it hasn't just happened, but I think the challenging of basic facts, whether scientific or otherwise, the calling into question, the challenging of basic facts that we now see, that now is everywhere in our media debate, that's pretty apocalyptic. That's a sign of a society going a little bit crazy. When
right.
You know, and we see this everywhere. I was on Fox News yesterday, and this isn't exactly science, but I was on Fox News yesterday, and they were asserting that the American public's trust in Barack Obama is decreasing. On the same day that its own poll came out saying that Americans' trust in Obama is rising. So the questioning, the challenging of basic empirical fact is definitely the sign of a society under severe apocalyptic stress.
Yeah, and I see our, you know, the Republicans more like cardinals in you know, red robes, you know, screaming heretic every time, you know, a Democrat says something that's, you know, leans towards a humanistic value.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
You're right on, man. Great call. Thanks for the call, man. I'm David Sirota, filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. We're taking your calls. Give us your signs that you may be seeing about the apocalypse. Do you see it? Is there an apocalyptic feeling out there? I think there is. And what good can come out of this cauldron of economic cataclysm? I think a lot of good things can come out of it. What do you think? Give us a call, 303-713-7600. First, let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Got a crash southbound I-25 at Thornton Parkway, causing some pretty heavy backups around 120th. Stop-and-go conditions there going to break loose. Also a little busy once you head into downtown after Park Avenue. Northbound side also starting to fill up there from Broadway to 6th. Also working a medical emergency. It's on the ramp from southbound 225 to Alameda, causing minor delays there in Aurora. Rest of the drive looking pretty good for us on a Friday morning. Forecast, increasing clouds, cooler trend on the way with a high of 60 today. Should be windy too this afternoon. Afternoon, tomorrow, chance of snow, high of 43. Sunday, mostly cloudy and a high of 55. Right now, 28 degrees.
Hey, thinking about starting a big home improvement project? Don't do it yourself. Trust a name that has more than 30 years experience. Hi, Tom Hartman here, and I want to talk to you about AAA Home Improvements. AAA is a full-service home improvement company specializing in pop-ups, additions, kitchens, and basements. They handle it all from start to finish, but don't take my word for it. Read what their satisfied customers have said at AAAHomeImprovements.com. AAA Home Improvements, 720-981-4269. 720-981-4269.
Ed Schultz Show. Mornings 10 to 1 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Don't miss any part of today's Denver Post. On page one, the Denver Post and Nine News deliver team coverage of an illegal high-stakes poker game that includes some A-list names you may know. Check out Penny Parker's new column in business and get all the details on last night's Nuggets Trailblazers game in sports. And to help you plan your weekend, theater critic John Moore reviews Phantom of the Opera at the Buell Theater. And film critic Lisa Kennedy takes you inside the blockbuster movie Watchmen. You'll still get the news only in the Post. Call 303-832-3232 to subscribe.
We're going to talk to Mike Spear now from Presidential Brokerage. Hopefully Mike has some less apocalyptic news than we've been discussing this morning. We check in with him every day at around this time. And you can reach him for any investment advice at 303-749-2770. Mike, give us some news that isn't too apocalyptic, or tell us, I guess, if there is an apocalypse going on, then we want to know about it. So what's going on?
Well, we do have some good news. The market is up today right now. The Dow's up 117 points.
All right.
Yeah, the NASDAQ Composite's up 13. The S&P is up a dozen points. And to put that in some perspective for you, David, up 13 points on the S&P is up almost 2%. So it's a pretty good move today. The Russell's up almost 2% as well today. So we are having a good day in the market. And some good news also is no matter how ugly it is out there, we've got a couple of ideas. And we're having a little get-together here on March the 19th and 21st. It's free if you call and ask for Jason today. We've got 100 seats available, but almost all of them are gone. So if you want the final few seats, call this morning, and what we're going to talk about is how to invest in this type of secular bear market. First of all, that's one topic, how to protect your assets and how to make money. And the second topic is how to manage your 401k. The advisors out there are not wanting to talk about your 401k because they can't bill you for it. They can't take over your 401k. Well, we're going to talk about it and show you how to manage your 401k. So it's real important. We have two times for you, March 19th, that's this coming Thursday afternoon, and then Saturday morning. So for more details and a free access pass to this workshop, it's not a product thing, not a sales pitch, it's really nuts and bolts how to get some stuff done and protect your assets and maybe make some money in this market. Call Jason McBride this morning, and he'll reserve a seat for you, and he can do it free for you.
And the number is 303-749-2770. In apocalyptic times, you want good financial advice. We need the more good financial advice, the better. It is in a short supply these days, obviously, as the economy has had trouble because of it. Mike Spear from Presidential Brokerage, thanks so much, man.
All right, thanks a lot, Dave.
All right.
Corvettes, Corvettes, and more Corvettes. Since 1984, we've been selling and servicing late model Corvettes, and nobody does it better. Check us out at purefoychevrolet.com and click on Corvettes. We are Colorado's Corvette dealer. P-U-R-I-F-O-Y, Chevrolet.com.
People moving out, people moving in, why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
756, I'm David Sirota filling in here for J. Marvin, AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Call us up, give us your signs, big and small, that you're seeing of the apocalypse, and maybe what you think good can come out of this. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Jeff in Littleton. Jeff.
Hey, David, how you doing
today? All right.
Was just grooving on the music there.
Turk always is ever the DJ.
Is me, though. Hey, a couple of things. To begin with, one of the signs of the apocalypse that I'm seeing is we have a major national sporting event going on this weekend in Denver, the lacrosse all-star game. Tickets are very, very reasonably priced, and it's not sold out. Unbelievable to me. I mean, you can get tickets
in a sports town. Yeah, that's pretty weird, huh?
It is. It's really, and it's sad because, you know, it's not going to come around again for a long time.
Yeah, but, right. I think that's probably a sign, if I can guess, if I can speculate, that's a sign of tough economic times out there.
I think so. And it goes across the board. On the other end, I'm a member of the a gastronomic association that has members from a lot of people, professional chefs and sommeliers. But the majority of the members are upper middle class and beyond. And we have a regional event, a very large event that's going on, that they've actually had to cancel a couple of the things because they're not getting the turnout because of the economy.
Again, that's the economic apocalypse that's happening. I mean, it is really having a ripple effect now. Unemployment, the numbers out this morning, 8.1%, the highest rate since the early 80s. It's tough out there, and it's changing everybody's lifestyle. We'll talk more about it after the top of the news. Hopefully the top of the news, if you'll listen in, isn't so bad, but I think it is.
There's one more way to hear AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, on your iPhone.
How do you do that?
Details on AM760.net.
Amazing.
And by the way, it's free.
Credit card debt. It causes stress in your life, arguments with your loved ones,
and collection agents calling you nonstop.
If you feel like you're drowning in credit card debt with no way out, listen closely. No matter how high your credit card debt is, at Jordan McKenna, we're not here to judge you. We're here to help you. Together, we can reduce what you owe and
stop those collection calls.
We'll even design an affordable monthly payment plan. You could save thousands of dollars of your high-interest credit card debt. If you have over $5,000 in credit card debt, you could automatically qualify. Call Jordan McKenna now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Find out how to reduce what you owe,
stop the never-ending collection calls,
and get out from under the mountain of credit card debt. For your free, no-obligation consultation, call now. 800-501-7781. That's 800-501-7781. Don't miss out. Call 800-501-7781.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. Now on your iPhone and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sinopani.
The U.S. economy is still bleeding jobs.
The hemorrhage claimed 651,000 more jobs in February, pushing unemployment to a 26-year high, 8.1%. PNC Bank economist Stuart Hoffman says peak unemployment may still be months away.
Our forecast is that it will get to 9%. That would be a very severe recession. There was a time in 82 when the rate got to almost 11%, and that sounds like if everything goes wrong for the U.S. and around the world, then we could get there.
I'm Barry Bagnato, live in Charlotte, North Carolina. This city thrives or dies with the banking industry, and right now unemployment is even higher than the sobering national rate.
I'm afraid the financial services layoffs are going to continue to grow.
Wachovia senior economist Mark Bittner predicts eventually 12% joblessness here. Only a half hour south, where laid-off worker Ronnie Groves lives in rural South Carolina, it's 17%.
Churches and everything, they help out with food banks and things like that, but it's tough everywhere, and we got to do the best we can.
Live in Charlotte, Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
On Wall Street, the averages are modestly higher in spite of the sour employment report. The Dow's up 86 points. CBS's Ginny Cassola is at the New York Stock Exchange.
Traders are saying, despite what happens today, this is possibly just a relief rally after the losses we saw this week. They really do not see this as an overall upward trend for the market.
Wall Street may not like the president's prescription for economic recovery, but a majority of Americans is still willing to give it and him some time. At least a year, says Patricia Irwin of Sharpsburg, Maryland.
There's no guarantee that it's going to be turned around in a year. And I'm not going to blame the Obama administration for that.
In Cleveland, the manhunt continues for a man wanted for allegedly gunning down his new wife, a sister-in-law, and the sister-in-law's three children. The neighbor says she spoke to the suspect yesterday, and he seemed to be perfectly fine.
We just got married. We just had a baby girl. I don't understand what went wrong.
2 days after an international court issued an arrest warrant for Sudan's president, his government has told 13 relief organizations to leave the country. Rob Crilly of The Times of London says victims of the conflict in Darfur need those agencies more than ever because two meningitis outbreaks have been reported.
There's a serious, deadly disease around with no one to try and combat it.
and the situation looks very, very difficult for all the people in need of help here.
A federal judge in Wichita, in a victory for news organizations, is allowing a court reporter to use Twitter's latest micro-blogging technology to flash updates on a closely watched racketeering trial. CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
To the extent that we're now getting real-time information from inside federal courtrooms, the way reporters have been trying to do for years, I think is a good thing.
Updating the Wall Street figures, the Dow is up 82 points, NASDAQ is up about 5.5. This is CBS News.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
All right, construction crews. Everybody ready?
Ready in Chicago.
Montgomery.
Honolulu. Oh, who's in Honolulu?
It's Tim from Boston. I just got transferred to Hawaii. Wicked good weather they got here.
Buy one Motorola i576 phone for $69.99. Get up to four free with Sprint, the fastest national push-to-talk network. Call 1-800-NEXTEL-9. Only on the Now Network. Fastest based on initial call setup time. Offers for eligible business accounts only. See Sprint stores for availability. Ends 4/18/09. Subject to two-year agreement. Up to $36 activation, $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit per line. Restrictions apply.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Democratic leaders at the state capitol are responding to Republican allegations they've been feigning bipartisanship. Senate President Peter Groff says there can't always be compromise.
There are differences between the parties, and there are going to be times when the final vote breaks along party lines.
Groff says Democrats are proud they passed the Faster Transportation Bill, which had virtually no support from Republicans. They say it will fix roads and bridges and save or create 8,000 jobs. On a party-line vote, the state Senate Education Committee has moved a bill to the full Senate that would allow illegal immigrants who graduate high school in Colorado to get in-state tuition rates for college. It passed 5-3. Carlos Valverde with the Higher Education Access Alliance says the bill would help deserving students without impacting taxpayers.
These students will have to meet all the academic requirements to get into post-secondary education, the same as any other high school graduate in our state. Further, they will not be eligible for COF or financial aid.
All Democrats on the committee supported it. All Republicans voted against. The new energy policy shaping up in the U.S. Senate could be a boon for Colorado. The Energy Smart Grid allows energy providers to monitor energy consumption and allows consumers to turn up or turn down their energy use. Senator Mark Udall.
Literally, the nation and the world are looking at Boulder and Fort Collins as those cities in partnership with the private sector.
The pilot programs will get a piece of $4.5 billion from the Obama stimulus plan for smart grid development. And when Carbondale lost its weekly newspaper to The Economy, some people in the Roaring Fork Valley town decided to start their own newspaper. The Sopris Sun is running with a tiny staff on a nonprofit model supported with ads, donations, and volunteers. Sports, the Nuggets beat Portland 106-90. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
On side of I-25, right around Thornton Parkway, really backing things up as you're making your way in out of the north, starting on that approach to 120th. We're also looking at some very heavy pockets on the westbound side of the turnpike, so it's going to take you about 30 to 35 minutes as you're making your way from Denver towards Boulder. Those slow pockets will start right around Sheridan to 104th, pick up a little bit, then you'll hit your brakes again once you get to McCaslin, C-470 dragging a bit, starting right around Broadway, taking you up to I-25. I'm Todd Parker, AM-7. 760 Progressive Talk.
Looking for a market-proof vest? Try this on for size. A market-proof CD from GMAC Bank. It's FDIC insured. And better yet, our 12-month CD has a 2.95% annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available, and it guarantees your money makes money. Lock in now. Go to gmacbank.com/radio or call 1-800-490-GMAC. Open a CD with as little as $500 and feel confident knowing your money's wearing body armor. GMAC Bank. Smart, simple, safe. Member FDIC.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
Marvin.
This is the J. Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. We're going to be taking calls in the second half of this hour. And I just want to, before we go to our next guest, I just want to give a little update on Jay. I just emailed with Jay's wife, Mary, and Jay is in the hospital. For folks who, she said their phone is ringing off the hook. He said he's in the hospital with a, he's got a faulty gallbladder. He's got to have his gallbladder out. And they're not sure exactly when they're going to take it out, but it'll be soon. I'll be filling in for Jay at least until Tuesday, and we all wish him a speedy recovery. I think there's every indication that he will make a full recovery to this, and all of our fingers are crossed for him and wishing him well. And I got to tell you something, a sign of the apocalypse, J. Marvin not being on the radio for more than two or three straight days. Now, that is a sign of the apocalypse. Before, and one other thing I got to, right, one other piece of house cleaning I got to do before we go to Christy Harvey. Just to, as I promised, if you go to Twitter, www.twitter.com/DavidSirota, and you want to tweet me your song of the apocalypse, or go to Facebook, or go to Open Left and post a comment in the blog post there about the sign of the apocalypse, I will read it out. I'm going to read a couple here. Randall Brown, he says that, the sign of the apocalypse is that MSNBC had a clip of Tanya Harding this morning lambasting President Bush. Excuse me, President Bush. Now that would be apocalyptic. President Obama. Tanya Harding on TV lambasting President Obama. Scott Harvey says, sign of the apocalypse, the idiots on Morning Joe are actually criticizing Republicans. That would be pretty bizarre, pretty apocalyptic. Okay. Let's go now, every week at this time, to Christy Harvey of the Center for American Progress. And Christy, hello.
Hey, David. How are you?
I'm all right. How are things up in Alaska?
Things are good. We're in the middle of something called the Fur Rondi, which Jay likes to make fun of me, but it's the big winter carnival. And this weekend is the Miners and Trappers Ball. And I can't figure out what to wear because the dress code is anything, but a lot of people go dressed up as Gold Nuggets or Sarah Palin. And there's a Mr. Furface competition where the best beard wins and people decorate their beards.
I'm guessing that the Sarah Palin phenomenon is probably achieving cliche status up there.
It actually is. People are just sort of over it. It's you know, very much been there, done that sort of feeling. And
it's like dressing up like on Halloween. It's like putting a sheet over your head and saying you're a ghost. It's like
totally.
Just a cartoonish cliche.
Well, there actually was for a while at one of the local bars. There was every Wednesday night Sarah Palin lookalike contest.
Exactly.
By lookalike Todd's, and it was just sort of weird and freaky, and I didn't like it there.
Now she's probably going to run for re-election, right?
Yeah, she's up in 2010, so she's probably going to run for re-election, and then people are split. Some people think that she's going to run for Lisa Murkowski's seat. Some people think that she's just going to, you know, jump the whole process and run for president.
I mean, is she really popular up there?
She is. Her approval ratings are in the 60s.
It's incredible to me that without even making a judgment on her politics or her intelligence.
Right.
It's incredible to me that she hasn't jumped the shark and become sort of a laughingstock, only because the way she's come off is as almost like a tabloid figure.
Well, I now understand how people on reality TV shows can just keep on living after they've been shown on, you know, The Bachelor, to be just completely cool, because it's sort of like that here, because everyone says, yeah, they watch her when she has her appearances on Glenn Beck or she's standing on stage with John McCain, but she talks differently and she looks different. And so people can say, you know, that's just sort of national Barbie Sarah, and she's very different here in the state. And
I
started to really turn right around when she went to that alfalfa club dinner in Washington. Do you
right.
remember that?
Yep,
back,
yep.
last month, and her approval rating started to just plummet here. And people were really angry because she was always in Washington, always on TV, never actually doing things for Alaska. And I think that's a lot of why she canceled CPAC and she canceled meeting with the Republican retreat. And I think she actually hunkered down here to make sure that she got her ratings back up because, you know, she needs that when she does go national.
Well, so she does. So in some ways, she is a smart politician.
She is a smart politician. She's very savvy.
Right.
I don't think she's terribly intellectual.
Right, but she's
very,
right.
very savvy.
Yeah, right. Got good, decent political instincts. Okay, so give us a rundown of some of the stories, apocalyptic or otherwise, that you are tracking that you can maybe lighten our day with.
I got one. Here's a sign of the apocalypse for you. Did you know that if you work for the post office, the U.S. Postal Service, and you want to move, they'll just buy your house?
Okay, explain. I can't believe it.
Yeah, they'll just buy your house off of you, and then you get to move and buy your own house, and they buy it, you know, at top price, and then they resell it and keep the money. But in the local and the recent downturn with the market, you know, of course, they're holding on to all these houses that they can't unload. And it came out yesterday that, okay, and this is the post office that you remember last month they said, oh, we're so broke, we're going to have to go
right,
to five-day delivery,
yeah.
and we have no money, and we're going to have to go back to using horses like they were trying for in front of Congress. So it comes out yesterday, and I almost called you, but I was afraid you might, you know, you'd gotten up early and you might be back asleep. The post office spent $1.8 million to buy this one McMansion off of one of their employees so he could relocate to Texas.
$1.8 million dollars for a house and for some. First of all, okay, two things.
Yes.
Somebody in the postal who works for the post office owned a $1.8 million house. Now, I'm not trying to maybe they, you know, married to somebody or inherited money or made a great investment, but you don't tend to think of people who work at the post office owning $1.8 million houses.
Well, I'm finding this out now, and I think I might be in the wrong profession.
Yeah, exactly.
My gosh, I have a little teeny apartment.
I was just going to say, I wonder if
you want to give it all up and get a postal route?
Seriously. Seriously. And then the other part of this, of course, is that the Postal Service is buying people's houses?
I thought this was the weirdest story, and I kept reading it thinking, okay, obviously, Christy, you're reading this wrong and you're missing something, but no. So this house is 5 acres, four bathrooms, an indoor swimming pool. It's like this crazy McMansion, one of those big houses, no trees kind of places.
Right.
And it turns out that they now can't flip it because the market's tanked.
Shocker.
And all in all, they lost all sorts of money in 2008 on buying and trying to flip houses from their employees.
Man, that is I never.
They lost an average last year of $58,000 on each of the 500 homes that they bought in its quote national relocation program last year. Last year.
And that is like I don't like stories like this only because they give government, or in the post office's case, the quasi government agencies a bad name. And for most of these agencies, you know, most of this of what they do is perfectly normal, perfectly good. But we get these stories like this, which are just, I mean, this is atrocious. It's atrocious.
I just think it's weird, too.
It is really weird.
I didn't realize that they did something like this.
I'm still having trouble getting past the idea that somebody at the post office owns a $1.8 million house.
Well, you'll be happy to know they've recently put a cap on their relocation. They will not pay more than $1 million. For your house.
Ah, okay. Okay.
So there's a cap.
Okay, but you can still own $1 million house, and they'll take it off your hands, no problem.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, now tell us about you and I were instant messaging about this issue. Tell us about our good friend Paul Bremer, or as he might be known now as the reincarnation of Bob Ross.
Exactly, the happy reconstruction.
Happy trees.
So L. Paul Bremer, of course, is the guy who botched the reconstruction of Iraq. He was over there 2003, 2004 in charge of rebuilding, quote-unquote, rebuilding the country and That's, you know, when a lot of the programs that should have been put into place weren't, when he's working with, you know, the college kids who'd applied for jobs at Heritage Foundation and all that sort of stuff. So Washington Whispers, which is the gossip column for U.S. News and World Report, got a hold of an email yesterday that he was sending around to his friends. And since he came home from Iraq, he kind of dropped off the face of the map. He did a little bit of a media tour where he tried to burnish up his image after it was so destroyed after he came back. Didn't work so well. He kind of went undercover, underground. So he's sending this email around now where he is selling oil paintings that he's doing of Vermont landscapes.
I mean, that's a normal career path, right? You know, you're the dictator. You go from dictator to dictator, reconstructing the most volatile place in the world to oil painting Vermont landscapes. That's totally normal.
As he explains in the email, and this is a direct quote from him, quote, "I studied art history in college and have always been interested in art."
I mean,
especially American and French impressionists.
So basically what you're saying is he blew a gasket. Like a gasket blew out completely.
I think so, or maybe, I don't know. I've never been in a war situation like Iraq. Maybe it was just so much that he came back and is doing like art therapy or something.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, no offense to artists out there. I'm not. There's no offense. It's just a very bizarre career path to go from essentially Iraq czar to oil to Bob Ross.
It really is. It really is. You can buy his paintings too. He's selling them for $250 to $400.
Hold on. You can get an authentic Paul Bremer.
That's what his email is. Next, I'm moving this next week. I'm going to, I think, outfit my living room in Paul Bremer art. Unless I can get my hands. Do you remember?
Wait, is that an original Paul Bremer?
It is an original Paul Bremer. You remember when Trafficant was trying to sell the pictures he was painting of horses out of prison?
Yes, yes.
It has that whole kind of feel to it for me for some reason.
Yes, yes. It's so weird. Okay, real quick, what are you doing this weekend?
This weekend I'm doing the Mr. Fur Face contest. I'm not actually a participant, but I'm going to watch at the Fur Rondy Miners and Trappers Ball. And then I'm also packing up my house because, like I said, moving day is next Friday. And we're moving to a new apartment that overlooks Cook's Inlet, which is...
You have a water view?
It's a water view.
Oh,
and
man.
And actually look out of our bay windows and watch beluga whales.
I mean, I've always...
It's fun up here.
I've always said one of my dreams, which I don't know if it'll ever happen, but one of my dreams is to be able to look out a window from a place that I live and see the water. I'm lucky enough now where if I crane my neck a little bit, I can see the mountains.
But you guys are in one of the most manliest cities.
Yes, yes, we are.
So congratulations.
Yes, and it's also, I don't know if you saw, the Pew poll found that it is the most desirable city in the country. And by that, I mean they asked people, if you had to move, where would you want to move? And Denver is the number one city, and number two, we even beat out Stay Classy San Diego. So that's pretty good.
And shockingly, you beat me up here in Anchorage.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. Well,
who would have thought?
How cold is it up there, I should ask?
Right now it's not terrible. I think it's about 7 today.
That's categorized as not terrible.
The week that we were for 10 days, we never cracked zero, and we were in the negative 23s, negative 19s, and that got to me a little bit.
That brings back memories of Chicago when I lived there. It's like,
quite balmy now.
Yeah. Christy, thanks so much. It's great to talk to you.
Absolutely, Sirota. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, see ya.
Bye-bye.
That was Christy Harvey of the Center for American Progress. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin. Christy and I actually used to work together. I have the illustrious claim to fame of having hired Christy at the Center for American Progress when I worked there. One of my best hires. Of course, the only times I've ever actually hired somebody in my life.
Good hire.
It was a good hire, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Great. She's great.
Yeah.
Give us a call, 303-713-7600. We're going to talk after the jump. We're going to talk to State Senator Chris Romer about a bill moving to the legislature. We're trying to move from discussions of the apocalypse to discussions of who's trying to do what to stop this apocalyptic feeling. And first, we'll go to traffic.
Thank you. Still working this multi-vehicle accident southbound I-25 at Thornton Parkway. Thick and heavy jams back to 120th still. Northbound side also filling up really heavy there from Emerson Street up to 6th Avenue. Stop and go type conditions. Also a lot of traveling on westbound Turnpike too. McCaslin to Foothills and also from Sheridan up to 104th. So may take you a few extra minutes to get out to Boulder this morning. C-470 also heavy for eastbounders from Wadsworth to Santa Fe and from about Broadway up past Quebec. Your forecast, partly cloudy, windy with highs in the low 60s. Right now, 33 degrees.
Hey, thinking about starting a big home improvement project? Don't do it yourself. Trust a name that has more than 30 years experience. Hi, Tom Hartman here, and I want to talk to you about AAA Home Improvements. AAA is a full-service home improvement company specializing in pop-ups, additions, kitchens, and basements. They handle it all from start to finish, but don't take my word for it. Read what their satisfied customers have said at AAAHomeImprovements.com. AAA Home Improvements, 720-981-4269, 720-981-4269.
Did you know that the new Climate Smart program allows Boulder County residents to install solar power with no out-of-pocket cost? Learn how you can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program at an exclusive Boulder County Community Solar event at the Louisville Rec Center on March 18th at 7 p.m. Meet the founder and owner of Independent Power Systems, Tony Boniface, as he shares his 15 years of solar experience and answers questions about solar energy and how you can eliminate your electric bill for life. Tony will present the details of the Climate Smart Program and the IPS Community Discount on Wednesday, March 18th at the Louisville Rec Center at 7 p.m. IPS, the Coors Field solar experts, invite you to meet Tony Boniface and learn how to eliminate your electric bill for life. For more, go to solarips.com/climate and RSVP for this free seminar. The Climate Smart Loan Program for Boulder County residents. Brought to you by Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
We're very happy for that.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
We are an awesome people.
AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk.
Over here on the left.
AM760.net.
Good day.
Oh, what we're living in. Let me tell you. And it's a world that man can eat at all.
824 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. If you had read the Denver Post today, you will see a story headlined, Lines Drawn on Tuition. And I'm going to read the lead. A Senate committee Thursday approved a bill that would allow illegal immigrants in Colorado to receive in-state tuition. Despite arguments, it was unfair and would provide false hope. So we asked State Senator Chris Romer to come on and debunk some of the nonsense around this bill. He's pushing this bill. It's a very good bill, a very important bill, in my opinion. Senator Romer, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for taking the time this morning. Okay, so I'll offload it to you. Why don't you tell us what your bill does, why your bill is necessary, and address some of the criticism coming from what looks to be the far right that is opposed to this.
Sure. What the bill does is says that any student who's been in a Colorado high school for 3 years can get in-state tuition, not subsidized by tax dollars, if they graduate from high school with good grades, get into the institution on their own merits, have good test scores, or have become competent in the English language, then they can go to higher education in Colorado with in-state tuition. In-state tuition is usually about a fifth of the cost of out-of-state tuition. So the common sense bill, look, you build great societies by offering hope. If you have a subclass of citizens, of part of our civic society that don't have hope, then you're basically creating a class of hopeless people who will do hopeless things. And so I reject that, and that's why I'm carrying this bill. It's a common sense education bill, and that's why people are trying to turn this into an immigration bill. That's a different subject. We're just trying to give children who did not choose of their own volition to come to this country the right to participate in getting educated. There's no upside in having an uneducated group of children. Now, the far right is pushing that this is a tax subsidy, and yes, initially as introduced, I did have state-funded scholarships in the bill. but as a concession to try to bring closure to this issue and get this done, we pulled the tax subsidy out of the bill, and that was very tough for me to do, but the Coalition for Immigrants' Rights supported that, and that's what we've done. But basically, the far right is trying to turn this into an immigration bill. This is an education bill. Even if these students end up going back to their home country, the world is a better place with educated citizens.
What's the bill number, and what should people do if they want to help you pass this bill through the legislature?
And by the way, this is Senate Bill 170. And look, two of the most prominent people who testified for the bill yesterday were Dick Monfort and Alex Kramberg, two very prominent Republican businessmen. So the Republican business community and the business community in general understands that a knowledge-based economy, you want smart people. So they're for the bill. It's really just a subset of people who are fearful, and it's kind of like the Luddites, where they just don't get that we're in a knowledge-based economy. And in a knowledge-based economy, you want everybody to get as much knowledge as you can.
Well, what strikes me about the opponents of this bill and what's so wrong with what they're doing is, look, even if you're somebody who you get riled up about undocumented immigration, this bill affects essentially children. I mean, somebody who's not graduated from high school yet is most of the time considered even legally a minor, a child. Are you really going to have policies in your government that punitively punish and segregate against children who for the most part had no input into the decision to come to this country in an undocumented fashion? And again, I'm out there as somebody who thinks that the whole hullabaloo over undocumented immigration and the attempt to use the debate over undocumented immigration to scapegoat immigrants, whether they're adults or minors, is absurd. But even if you're somebody who really is riled up about undocumented immigration, do you really want to punish the children of undocumented immigrants who had nothing to do, in most cases, with the decision to come to this country? I mean, there's got to be a human rights element of this debate. I mean, is that coming through in the debate in the legislature?
You know, there's a portion of the other side of the aisle that's lost its moral compass, and we saw this in the debate the other day, where literally a state senator said that they wanted a child to have HIV to punish a promiscuous mother.
Right.
That's the same kind of boneheaded logic that would apply to this bill. You don't want to punish kids, because remember, to do something illegal, you have to have intent. If you didn't intend to come to this country, if you didn't make the decision, you didn't do anything illegal. Your parents did. Now, why in God's name would we punish the kids for the decisions of the parents? That's an immoral society that would do that. So, you know, I hate it when we don't have a civil conversation, and I really thought we had a good six-hour civil debate, including lots of people who were driven down there by the right-wing radio. And I think at the end of the day, most of those people would agree that there's just no upside in having an undereducated subclass in our society.
And again, give us the bill number again and what people can do to help you get this through.
Sure. It's Senate Bill 170. It's a common sense bill. Again, we're not subsidizing. We're letting them pay the full cost of going to CSU, Metro State, or University of Northern Colorado. In fact, undocumented Coloradans who are here, as long as they got into the school on their own merits, will actually pay about $2,000 to $3,000 more than kids who are U.S. citizens, because they will not get the College Opportunity Fund, which we give to every student. So they will pay more. We're not subsidizing them, but they won't pay the prohibitive out-of-state tuition rates, which currently is $28,000 at CU.
So everybody listening, if you don't want a two-tiered segregatory education system, if you don't want legalized educational segregation, you need to call your state senator, call your state legislator, and tell them to pass this bill as soon as possible. I got to tell you something before we go here. When I was reading about this bill, it was news to me, and this shows you probably how ignorant I am, but it's probably news to a lot of people, that we currently have this two-tiered education system, and that we need a bill like yours, Senator Romer, to actually address this situation. So thanks for doing it.
Yeah, and but let me give you one final thing. And you should ask your the largest single donor to the Republican Party is for this bill. So we should start asking the Republican Party, where did they go off the cliff where their largest donors are no longer with them?
That's right.
So I think it's a real big question. Have they become such a fringe party that their own donors have taken a walk?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is we've seen this at the federal level. We're seeing it at the state level. The Republican Party is in a real internal death battle, and unfortunately, its fringe right is getting louder and louder.
And we Democrats need to embrace the fiscal conservatives from the other side of the aisle, because I'll tell you, all the fiscal conservatives are taking a walk on these guys, and we need to embrace them into our side. And on your other subject, look, we're going to create a great society. We're hitting a little bit of a dip. We've been in some dips before. We're going to come out stronger and greater than we were before, because we offer hope. And let me repeat, there is no upside in creating a subclass of hopeless citizens, because then they just ultimately do hopeless things. They join gangs. That's not what we want to do. And we're better than that, and that's why I'm fighting for this bill.
Well, listen, thanks for taking the time this morning, and keep us posted on this, and we'll do everything,
we
at
need
least
your help.
Everything we can do to help.
We need your help. We need your emails. We need your calls.
You heard it. You heard it right there, folks. Senator Chris Romer, thanks very much. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin. That was Senator Chris Romer of Denver pushing his tuition equity bill. Call your state legislator. Call your state senator. Tell them to support tuition equity. I'm going to get during the break, I'll get the number. We'll put it out there, the general number for the assembly. But give us a call, 303-713-7600. We can talk about all the issues. We'll do open phones. All the issues are on the table. We've been talking earlier about signs of the apocalypse. Are you seeing signs of the apocalypse? If so, what are they, small and big? And what signs do you have that we're going to get out of this, that from great apocalyptic times come potentially great opportunities? Let's talk about it. We'll start talking after the break, 303-713-7600. First, let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Traffic's still pretty brutal coming out of Thornton this morning. Got a crash there involving several vehicles southbound side of 25 at Thornton Parkway. Still speeds in the teens, 20s from 120th down to Thornton Parkway. Rest of the drive really starting to shape up for us, loosening anyway. Speeds improving, but our heavier flows right now southbound 225. Parker Road down to the Tech Center, northbound I-25 from Lincoln to 6th, and on eastbound C-470 there in Highlands Ranch from Broadway past University. Your forecast, increasing clouds and cooler trend on the way with a high of 60 today. Should be a little windy as well. Tomorrow, chance for snow, a high of 43, and on Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high of 55. Right now, 33 degrees.
Get the good stuff!
Hey, Mike Waltrip here. You know those makeover shows where they turn a dumpy-looking house into something really special? Well, we'd like to do the same thing with your hat. So stop into any participating Napa Auto Parts store, and with a purchase, turn one of your old hats into a 2009 Napa racing hat. And while you're in there, why not pick up some incredible Napa parts and give your car a makeover as well? The Napa Hat Spot. Limit one per customer. Only good while supplies last.
Napa. Get the good stuff!
That they do business in. They're big supporters of AM760 and have been big supporters of my show. And I thank them for that, and I think you should patronize people locally who do spend their hard-earned money to advertise. Second of all, they have the largest selection of clean, late-model, previously owned vehicles in all of Colorado. These things are great. The selection is great. And you're bound to find something that you like. Plus, you get more bang for your auto buck. You know, you go buy a new car, oh, it smells great, and all of that. But the minute you drive it off the lot, hey, price of it sinks like a rock. Rocky's Auto is open Monday through Saturday, 9 until 8 in the evening. And drop by and see any of my friends at Rocky's. I guarantee the shopping experience will be a good one. That's Rocky's Auto's at the historic location of 63rd and Federal. You just can't miss it.
Oh, try Deli Zone today and enjoy a regular size New York style sub for $4.99. For fresh, delicious New York style sandwiches you'll crave, it's Deli Zone. Find a Deli Zone near you at DeliZone.net.
Hey, thinking about starting a big home improvement project? Don't do it yourself. Trust a name that has more than 30 years' experience. Hi, Tom Hartman here, and I want to talk to you about AAA Home Improvements. AAA is a full-service home improvement company specializing in pop-ups, additions, kitchens, and basements. They handle it all from start to finish, but don't take my word for it. Read what their satisfied customers have said at AAAHomeImprovements.com. AAA Home Improvements, 720-981-4269. 720-981-4269.
Two sixty-nine. 8:37 here in Denver. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. Just want to continue to fulfill the promise I made. If you Twitter me, if you email me, if you post on openleft.com in the blog post about apocalypse, if you Facebook me, send me a message. I'll read out your sign of the apocalypse, as long as it doesn't include one of the non-radio words. So here's I've got a couple more. Yankees fan, his sign of the apocalypse. Fox News has the highest ratings since Obama became president. That's pretty apocalyptic. I was on Fox earlier this week. Yesterday, it was yesterday morning. These early mornings make it seem like the days are way longer. I was on yesterday, and they actually did a segment that was about how supposedly trust in President Obama was going down on the same day, of course, that Fox News released its own poll showing trust in Obama is going up. This is a network that just cannot, in many ways, can't accept reality. But the reality is that even though people do have trust in Obama, and even that even though they trust Obama more than they trust the last president, and have confidence that the government's at least trying to do something different on economic issues, there is this apocalyptic feeling out there right now, especially when you talk about economics, and I think it has to do with the understanding by people of what our next guest, Robert Weissman, is going to tell us about, which is that Wall Street, even though it is down and out, it is still exerting a huge amount of undue influence on our political process. And I've asked Robert Weissman, who I've known for years now, who's a journalist. He works for Essential Information. He covers basically the nexus of finance and politics and money. He's written a new report that's called Sold Out, How Wall Street and Washington Betrayed America. We've invited him on here to tell us about what his report found. Robert, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So tell us what you found in your report, what's new, what it means for the debate over economic policy that's going to be taking place now and in the coming weeks and months.
We saw that the financial sector overall has contributed, donated, invested more than $5 billion, billion with a B, in the political process over the last decade. They spent all that money, it was probably the best investment they made from their point of view, to take the regulatory cops off the beat. So what they wanted was to have the free hand to engage in wild speculation, which earned them really high returns for a time, and they achieved that. And what we did is look at a whole bunch of different deregulatory moves that were made over the last decade during both the Bush administration and the previous Clinton administration, because this is a bipartisan story, a bipartisan industry, and a bipartisan disaster.
What does it mean for the negotiations over financial regulation, over all sorts of issues that the public is clamoring for in this economic crisis? I mean, I guess the question is, we know what they contributed before. Now, supposedly, these companies and therefore this political lobby is economically strapped. So will their influence subsequently wane, or have they invested so much money that their influence won't wane, or are they really not that strapped and they still have plenty of money to influence the political process, potentially watering down whatever financial regulations come out of this moment?
Well, they certainly have enormous leftover influence, and of course they obviously have different pots of money that they're able to draw from, and they're not retreated from Washington. So you said they were down and out at the beginning. I think they're down, but at least from a Washington point of view, they are certainly not out. It's harder for them on Capitol Hill and in the administration than it would have been a year ago. But they are, there's not any sign of shame from Wall Street. There are a lot of small things, relatively small, that are going on Capitol Hill right now. They're being debated this week, last week, and next week. And they're all over the place, and they are significantly influencing debates in really harmful ways. So, for example, the Congress, the Obama administration, usefully not doing enough, has actually suggested that bankruptcy judges ought to be able to mark down mortgages to what they are worth, so the people who are underwater aren't being required to pay more than the value of their home. It's really hard to know why the banks would even be against that, because if they foreclose on a home, it's not worth more. But they hate the idea of ever diminishing the principal that's being owed, and they are fighting vociferously against that, and they're very likely to defeat it entirely or in part. There is a proposal to give the Federal Trade Commission more authority to impose terms on predatory lending rules, and the industry is all over that and trying to cut back on it. The Obama administration proposed in its budget that insurance companies ought not to be able to manipulate offshore subsidiaries to avoid paying U.S. taxes. And the insurance industry, that includes, for example, AIG, is doing everything they can to undermine that proposal. So they are not going away. And these are small fights compared to what we've got coming up later this year.
Well, and what would be, I mean, the question I think a lot of people will wonder is, okay, so this industry's given a lot of money. It's gotten a lot of favors in the past, but haven't the political dynamics shifted to a point where the average rank-and-file congressperson is going to say, look, you Wall Street, you the insurance industry, you the speculator class, you are so utterly unpopular among my constituents that I'm just not really going to listen to you anymore? Or is that a naive view of how things work? Because I mean, and I guess I ask it sort of as a rhetorical question, because I've worked on Capitol Hill, but I wonder, I'm not there in D.C. now. I mean, has the dynamics changed at all, or is this still, for the most part, a pay-to-play situation?
Well, I think things are up for grabs in a way they wouldn't have been before the financial collapse. So they've shifted a little bit. There's definitely an opening. If there's organization by citizens, I think we've got a real chance to do things that are meaningful. But it's not going to happen on its own. For two reasons, both of which reflect the lobbying and influence and the campaign contributions. One is that the stuff that's happened in the past matters for the present debate in two ways. One is the first thing that has to be done is undo a whole lot of really terrible things that have been done over really the last 30 years. And that itself is a big burden before we can affirmatively do other things to restrain finance. But also, all this time spent and all this money spent by the Wall Street lobbyists and their friends has shaped the way people on Capitol Hill think about these issues. And that doesn't change overnight. Even though they may think the industry is disgraced, a lot of the basic concepts that they put forward through their propaganda, like financial innovation, in quotes, is a really great thing, and we don't want to get in the way of the wondrous innovators on Wall Street, that still has a really powerful grip on Capitol Hill and in the administration and in sort of the chattering classes. And that's not just people being corrupted. It's actually affected the ideology here, and that's going to take some work to overcome. And then going forward, you know, they're, as I said, they're really engaged in these policy fights.
Yeah, and by that, by ideology, you know, what people, when listeners hear that term, what it really means is that the parameters of how things are thought about have shifted so dramatically and structurally over the last 30 years that in many ways the debates in Washington are predicated on a set of assumptions that allow certain things to be considered legitimate and certain things to be considered not legitimate. So, I mean, the best example of this, I think, to put some details on it is the debate, or lack thereof, over bank nationalization. The fact that nationalization is even being talked about right now is an incredible shift, because 6 months ago, 3 months ago, the ideology of Washington, which is built up for so long, over 30 years, 40 years, has been that you can't even talk about nationalization. So that's when we talk about the ideological obstacles to change, it often has to do with the fact that the boundaries of the entire political debate have been artificially narrowed to rule out and to remove and delegitimize positions and policies that threaten big money. And as Robert Weissman, who we're talking to here, has shown in his report, it's the biggest of big money, $5 billion in political influence and purchasing by Wall Street. Robert, before you go, tell us where people can find your report so that they can read it themselves.
The full report is available at wallstreetwatch.org. It's a long report, but there's a short executive summary, and they can see our regular reporting on this stuff at multinationalmonitor.org.
Excellent. Robert Weissman, thanks so much, and please keep me and keep us informed about your work and what's going on. We need as many watchdogs as possible.
Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
All right. That was Robert Weissman, a journalist for Essential Information, wallstreetwatch.org, telling us about Wall Street spending $5 billion over the last decade on political influence buying. That's campaign contributions, lobbying, et cetera, et cetera. And if the number $5 billion in political influence buying over just a decade isn't apocalyptic, I don't know what is. 8:48 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're going to go back to the phones after this break. So give us a call, 303-713-7600. Give us your signs of the apocalypse, small, large, medium-sized. Some seem funny, some are really serious. My small sign of the apocalypse, a Chicago 7 pizza, old Chicago pizza. The restaurant chain has made a pizza out of a famous social justice court case. Making fast food out of a consumer item off of a social justice court case. That seems pretty apocalyptic. On a big scale, $5 billion in Wall Street spending on political influence buying. That's pretty apocalyptic, too. And, of course, news at the top of the last top of the hour is that unemployment's over 8%, the highest unemployment rate since the early 80s. That is apocalyptic, too.
You know what else is apocalyptic? I'm looking at the Billboard Top 100.
Yeah.
Like six of the top 10 albums are rap albums.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's not apocalyptic.
Oh, it is in my eyes.
Oh, come on. You're not a rap
Kanye
guy?
Kanye West, Soulja Boy.
You're not a rap guy?
T.I. featuring Justin Timberlake.
I mean, rap's pretty good. Good rap is good.
I like some rap.
I mean, it might be.
Man, it's hard to believe that that's all in the top 10.
I'll tell you what. It's apocalyptic for the traditional music industry, but I don't think it's apocalyptic. But then again, you're a widespread panic guy.
Yeah, I'm a freak hippie, I guess.
Yeah.
But no, it should be a good year for music. I'm just looking. I just got the email for the Billboard Hot 100, and
it's apocalyptic for music.
Like the number
music
one album
like you.
Right now is Flo Rida. Who's Flo Rida?
I don't even know.
Don't know either.
We're showing how lame we are.
With the album Right Round.
Seriously, we're showing how lame
I don't
we are.
I know. Florida is.
I know. Now I'm feeling really
lame.
Number
one album in America. I don't even know who it is, but that's just my sign. But taking a look at traffic, Dave, we are starting to shape up. That crash up in Thornton has been moved off the highway now. Still, though, really heavy and slow coming down from North Glen at 120th down past the Thornton Parkway. Got a new crash in the tech center. Two vehicles involved, Bellevue and Ulster. Rest of the drive, really shaped up for us. Just residual jams northbound I-25 from Lincoln to 6th and on northbound 225 from about the spillway to Mississippi.
For $1 million, name things that are green.
GoGreenFurnace.com.
Okay, the judges will accept that. We need three more.
GoGreenFurnace.com.
That's one. Name other things that are green.
GoGreenFurnace.com.
We're running out of time. Maybe something that says ribbit?
GoGreenFurnace.com?
Seriously?
Sure, there are other green things, but the planet's friendliest heating and cooling systems are at GoGreenFurnace.com.
Seriously?
Sure, there are other green things, but the planet's friendliest heating and cooling systems are at GoGreenFurnace.com.
Are you living paycheck to paycheck? Have you been making credit card payments for years? Only feel like the balance never goes down. In fact, with interest rate hikes and late fees, you feel like you're getting further and further behind, no matter how high your credit card debt is. At Jordan McKenna, we're not here to judge you. We're here to help you. Together, we can reduce what you owe and stop those collection calls. We'll even design an affordable monthly payment plan. You could save thousands of dollars of your high-interest credit card debt. If you have over $5,000 in credit card debt, you could automatically qualify. Call Jordan McKenna now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Find out how to reduce what you owe, stop the never-ending collection calls, and get out from under the mountain of credit card debt. For your free, no-obligation consultation, call now. 800-501-7781. That's 800-501-7781. Don't miss out. Call 800-501-7781.
A52, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. This is Flo Rida. The Turk dug it up.
Number one album in the country right here.
That's a good song, man.
Apocalyptic?
Nah, this is a good song. Come on. As I promised, we'll read your Twitters. If you Twitter me at David Sirota on Twitter or send me a message on Facebook and give me your sign of the apocalypse, I'm happy to read it on the air. Got one from MSCD Grad, who says that sign of the apocalypse, we have no sense of history. We learn nothing from the dot-com crash in 2000 and the earlier savings and loan debacle. Well, that's definitely true. It's definitely true that societies that ignore history are doomed to repeat it. And that is really apocalyptic. Okay, we're going to go to the phones now. We got a full board here. And give us a call, 303-713-7600. We'll try to take as many as we can. Your signs of the apocalypse. Let's go to John in Colorado Springs. John.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey. Oh, okay. I thought I had to wait. Oh, yeah, David, I wanted to ask your opinion. In general terms on the stimulus bill, and I was particularly interested in the extended unemployment. Our fearless new leader claimed that he was going to ask for 11 months of additional unemployment. Well, what happened, we got the sob of $25 a week.
Right.
And another aside, I had, in a couple of times I called in and, this is a long time ago, 18 months before the election and maybe, and I had expressed the opinion that Obama was a centrist policy wonk type. And actually, Jay hung up on me. he cut me off in a big hurry. And also, the guy with the Latino rap that's on in the afternoons, same thing. He's a little more polite, but, they weren't buying this.
Well, my impression of the stimulus package is that it was not nearly enough and not nearly as good as it could have been, but it was solid enough that it needed to pass. So what I mean by that is that I thought Obama started from a position of compromise by loading up the bill or his first proposal with a bunch of corporate tax cuts, some of which were actually taken out, but with the idea that he could get quote unquote bipartisan support. And he weakened the policy in order to try to get bipartisan support on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
And I thought that was too bad. But I want to be clear. It's a better thing for the country that it ended up passing, even in its imperfect form. Now, I think the good news is, and this is really good news, is that unlike the guy who twittered me and just said that it's apocalyptic that our society hasn't seemed to learn from its own mistakes, I think Barack Obama has learned from those mistakes that he made during the stimulus package. His budget bill for 2010, which was the next big bill that immediately followed the stimulus package, was much more robust, much more aggressive, much more of a real significant down payment on the major priorities and much less willing to compromise good policy for the cosmetics of bipartisanship. And I think that that's a really good sign. I mean, it's going to be a big fight to pass that budget, but I think the trajectory of what's going on in our government, going from starting out a little not sure-footed and now moving into a much more bold, robust posture, both on the budget and now on health care, we're going in the right direction.
Well, that's by your analysis, just about exact. Actually, I've read two of your books, and it's seldom I find somebody I agree with almost exactly. That's just a right on, spot on analysis as far as I'm concerned. And I am considerably disappointed in his appointments and bringing in these old Clinton retreads. I mean, come on.
Look, I agree, I want to be clear. I've always said I think we help Barack Obama, we help the Democratic Party, and most importantly, we help pass good policy if we're willing to applaud and help and support and make our voices heard when the policy is good, and we help create good progressive policy and help Barack Obama and help the Democratic Party when we call them out and say that's not good policy. Those are not good appointments. That pressure is necessary. It's Franklin Delano Roosevelt who said, "You've convinced me. I agree with you. Now make me do it." And if we don't make Obama do the things that he promised to do, then we won't get those things. John, thanks for the call.
Absolutely. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll try to squeeze in one more call here real quick. Isaiah, you've got 30 seconds.
Hey, how are you doing, David?
I'm doing well. Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. You didn't call into my staff meeting, so I decided to call you.
Good. This is Isaiah from the Campaign for America's Future. We had on Roger earlier this morning. All right, you got 10 seconds, 15 seconds, go.
15 seconds. Certainly the apocalypse was shown in an article by Nouriel Roubini that was published earlier this week in Forbes.com. Fear of a global L-shaped depression, the real fruit of conservative economic failure.
It really is. And that is, I think, what is on... That undergirds all of the worries that people feel right now. There's the feeling that it's bad now, but things could crater. I was talking to my brother-in-law, right? My brother-in-law, who's not in politics, he works in media. He said, this really feels like the end of not just this economic era, but of an economic system. And it's this fear of a global cratering. You're absolutely right.
But I also agree with you, though, that with anything that is too big to fail, is really too big to be just totally entrusted in private hands. Public's got to be involved. Government's got to be involved.
Well, right, and so that means we have to have the laws to prevent things from getting that big, and then we have to make sure that anything that already is that big that can impact society as a whole has a huge amount of public control. Isaiah, it's good to talk to you. Thanks for the call, man.
All right, take care.
I'm David Sirota filling in here for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Give us a call, 303-713-7600. We're talking about the apocalypse, and we'll talk more about it after the top of the news.
Mario Solis Marriage.
Today on the Mario Solis Marriage Show, Denver, the fifth most manliest place in the country. Do you agree? All of that, your calls, and the guys from the lowdown, y mucho más.
Today at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. And AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young.
The job losses have just come hand over fist.
Economist Stuart Hoffman in the wake of this morning's Labor Department report on February unemployment. Another 651,000 jobs were slashed, sending the jobless rate to 8.1%. The new figures have the attention of the White House as President Obama pushes his plan for reviving the economy in Columbus, Ohio. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer is there and joins us live.
In fact, Nick, the White House says this latest report is fresh evidence of the depth of the recession, as President Obama, speaking now, promotes how the economic stimulus plan has at least temporarily saved the jobs of 25 new police officers here. The administration points to what's described as the destructive cycle of job loss. President Obama says the government has a role in ending that cycle. The Labor Department today is making more than $3.5 billion available for state training and reemployment services. Reporting live, Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president in Columbus, Ohio.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Charlotte, North Carolina. This city thrives or dives with the banking industry, and right now unemployment is even higher than the sobering national rate.
I'm afraid that financial services layoffs are going to continue to grow.
Wachovia senior economist Mark Vittner predicts eventually 12% joblessness here. Only a half hour south, where laid-off worker Ronnie Groves lives in rural South Carolina, it's topping 17%.
Churches and everything, they help out with food banks and things like that, but it's tough everywhere, and we got to do the best we can.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Charlotte.
I'm Steve Knight. Looking for work?
There is a horribly acute shortage of nursing professionals.
500,000 nationwide, says Andrea Haim from Johnson & Johnson. Many experienced nurses are leaving the profession, and there aren't enough nursing teachers for new students who want in.
But applicants are actually getting turned away from nursing schools.
There has been a 17% decrease in enrollment in the past 5 years.
Cleveland police are continuing their manhunt for Devon Crawford, believed to have shot and killed his wife, sister-in-law, and three of her children last night. This neighbor is having a difficult time coping with the horror.
I think it's sad is I seen a little baby go by and they were trying to save its life, and it's just crazy. There's too much drama going on there.
The children were as young as two. A fourth child was wounded and is being treated at a Cleveland hospital. Call it backlash from this week's warrant against Sudan's president issued by the International Criminal Court. Sudan has kicked out relief workers who've been providing essential services to Darfur refugees. Times of London correspondent Rob Crilly is in one of the camps.
This is creating a serious amount of nervousness among all the people in the camps who rely on charities like Oxfam and Save the Children for basic services.
Now, Crilly says aid agency officials had warned in the weeks before that there would be harmful repercussions from going to the international court. Checking out the stock market at this hour, the Dow is down 47 points, the NASDAQ 22, S&P 500 off 7. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You know, there's never been a better time to own my new Orrick XL, because now the Orrick you've always wanted has a new low price. The amazingly powerful, incredibly lightweight new Orrick XL starts at only $299. Try it risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, you don't keep it. Call 1-877-ORRICK-21. That's 1-877-ORRICK-21. Or visit Orrick.com to find the Orrick store closest to you.
Did you know when you get hired, your employer can verify your work eligibility with E-Verify? E-Verify matches a new hire's information against government databases, U.S. citizens and non-U.S. citizens alike. Most people are verified instantly. If you're not verified because your information does not match, you have the right to resolve the mismatch and continue working. Visit www.dhs.gov/e-verify. E-Verify from the Department of Homeland Security.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Expect a wild ride for stocks today. RBC Wealth Management in Denver's John Claxton says February's jobless numbers weren't as bad as they could have been.
The 651,000 job loss number actually came in at the low end of most economists' estimates and might have shown a change in momentum from the December-January numbers. So there might be a glimmer of hope.
Claxton says he's telling investors to hold tight to long-term investments and let them heal. A late call for the flu in Colorado. Dr. William Schaffner at Vanderbilt University Medical Center.
Influenza is widespread in Colorado at the moment, as it is in 27 other states around the country.
Schaffner says it's not too late to get a flu shot. The new energy policy is shaping up in the U.S. Senate and could be a boon for Colorado. The Energy Smart Grid allows energy providers to monitor consumption and allows consumers to turn up or turn down their energy use. Senator Mark Udall.
Literally, the nation and the world are looking at Boulder and Fort Collins as those cities in partnership with the private sector.
The pilot programs will get a piece of $4.5 billion from the Obama stimulus plan for smart grid development. Comedian Robin Williams has canceled his May 20th concert date in Denver.
It was strange enough when Michael was the best man at Liza's wedding. That, for me, it was like, you're pushing the term, my man. That was a pretty short list. Who was Richard Simmons hunting? What happened?
Williams' publicist announced the funny man will undergo open-heart surgery to replace an aortic valve. Williams was set to tour 80 cities for his Weapons of Self-Destruction tour. Sports, the Nuggets beat Portland 106-90. They head for Utah tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Cale. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where speeds are going to be picking up on I-25 as you're heading southbound, coming out of Thornton and Northland. We had an earlier accident that really messed with the drive. It occurred north of 84th. It was there for about an hour, jacking things up. But now things are looking decent pretty much anywhere you're going to be heading. The rest of the highways, they're quick to recover. Speeds are back to normal on C-470 across Highlands Ranch, as well as 36 past Wadsworth towards Boulder. Watch for a surface street crash. It's in the tech center and should be cleaned up shortly. Bellevue and Ulster. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get your Arapahoe Basin Spring Pass now. Adult passes are just $209, youth for $159, and children for just $109. For more information, call 1-888-ARAPAHOE or check out ArapahoeBasin.com.
Sorting things out on the radio.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's Jay Marvin, mornings at 6.
Do I think things will get better? Yes.
Ed Schultz at 10.
This is where Denver comes to talk.
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4.
We're very happy for that.
Mario, afternoons at 4.
Lock it in on your radio dial.
And Ron Kuby, 7 to 10.
We are an awesome people.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Over here on the left.
AM760.net.
Good day.
Really progressing.
We progressive.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love you too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
This is David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin, who is laid up in the hospital. He's doing okay, though. He sounds like he's in some pain, but he's doing okay. He's supposed to make a recovery. Not sure when he's going to be back. I'll be here until at least Tuesday. We're all pulling for Jay. And hoping that Mary is also hanging in, too. It's always tough to be a spouse to watch your partner go through any kind of medical procedure. 908 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Give us a call, 303-713-7600. Tell us the signs of the apocalypse that you're seeing and whether you think something good can come out of this apocalyptic moment. My column in the Denver Post is about that apocalyptic feeling. I came to it when I was in Mexico City, or actually outside of Mexico City, at the top of the Temple of the Sun, which if you haven't been there, you should go. It's an amazing place. We talked earlier in the last hour with State Senator Chris Romer, who was pushing a bill in the legislature that's about something called tuition equity, giving anybody who's lived in state for a certain period of time access to in-state tuition. Now, this has become a controversy. Because it shouldn't be a controversy, right? I mean, it sounds perfectly reasonable. If you've lived in state, you should get in-state tuition. The right, the conservative right wing, has tried to make this into an issue about immigration, saying that, well, if a child who has lived in state, who's gone to high school, has lived in state for years, is technically an undocumented immigrant, then they shouldn't have access to in-state tuition. And Senator Romer is pushing this bill, and he's getting a lot of flack from the hardcore extremist right wing. And the good news is that Senator Romer has groups, grassroots groups, like the Colorado Progressive Coalition, who is helping him mobilize the grassroots base in support of this bill. And Senator Romer said that it's going to be absolutely critical to have grassroots voices telling the legislature to pass this bill. So if you have a moment, give the Colorado General Assembly a call at 1-800-970-3468. Again, 800-970-3468. And tell your legislator that you want them to support Senate Bill 170. And to talk about the grassroots effort to mobilize support for this bill and pressure on the legislature. I've asked Carlos Valverde of the Colorado Progressive Coalition to join us. He's on the line right now. Carlos, how you doing?
Hey, David. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for taking the time this morning. So tell us, we heard about what this bill is about. Tell us what you're hearing from the community in terms of why this really is the existing law that this bill tries to fix, why the existing law is so flawed, and how it really affects people in a day-to-day basis, how this is not just a big policy issue. This actually impacts individuals in a very real way.
Sure. Well, first let me tell you a little bit about the coalition. It's the Higher Education Access Alliance, which the Colorado Progressive Coalition is a member of. The coalition HEA, for short, has over 100 community organizations as members. And so there's a lot of folks out there that are working with these young people who, quite honestly, Dave, they were brought here at no fault of their own. They were brought here by their parents, usually at a very young age, and they have done everything right. They have gone to school. They have gotten good grades. So they're some of the most high-achieving students you'll meet. Many are class leaders. We've even had valedictorians who have not been able to go to college because of the current law. In particular, there was a young man several years ago out of one of our high schools in the metro area who was a National Merit Scholar, which is one of the highest achievements a high school student can receive, and it comes with a significant scholarship attached to that. While it did come out that he was undocumented and that scholarship was stripped from him, and so he wasn't able to go to his first choice college, which was CU Boulder at the time, and he was lucky enough to find a private donor who was willing to send him to DU, which is a private school. But, you know, his opportunity for a college education was initially halted because of his status, and he was one of the most high-achieving students around. But he's not alone. The fact is that nationally they estimate that about 36,000 of these students graduate from high school every year and with no opportunity for a college education. In Colorado, we heard yesterday during the committee hearing that it's estimated that up to 900 students a year are graduating in this situation. What we do know, though, is that in the other states that have passed this law, only about 5 to 14% of those students, just because even, you know, this bill doesn't include financial aid, it doesn't include the College Opportunity Fund, which is a buy-down by the state, that even with the in-state tuition status, many of these students aren't going to college. And so we know that, you know, it will help many, but there's still a significant portion that sometimes this bill might leave behind.
How difficult do you think it's going to be to pass this bill?
Well, that's why we're trying to do a real grassroots effort. You know, the right, like you mentioned, is very mobilized there. But I really believe that these anti-immigrant groups are a very loud but minority of the population. I think once people understand what this bill is about, that these are Colorado kids. They grew up here. They've been hiking the 14ers. They are Colorado kids. They've spent most of their lives in this state. I think once people understand that, there really isn't a problem with that. But I think there's been a lot of miscommunication about what this bill is. A lot of people are saying that it's going to displace citizen students or encourage more immigration to the state. Prior to CPC, I was the senior education policy specialist for the National Conference of State Legislatures, where I tracked tuition equity and DREAM Act legislation around the country. And in the 10 states that have passed this law, all the studies, all the credible studies at least, that have come out from those states have not indicated whatsoever that there is any fiscal impact, one, to the state, or that it results in increased immigration. In fact, in Texas, they've seen decreased numbers of immigrants in their state after this law was passed. And that the displacement of citizen students there is no documentation for that as well. I mean, there is no evidence that these things are occurring.
We're talking to Carlos Valverde of the Colorado Progressive Coalition. Carlos, where can people find out about the Colorado Progressive Coalition?
Our website is www.progressivecoalition.org.
The Colorado Progressive Coalition is pushing a bill to create what's called tuition equity in our state. It is Senate Bill 170, and we're asking folks, if you want to see essentially desegregation in our higher education policy, you got to call the Colorado General Assembly at 1-800-970-3468 and tell your legislator you want them to support tuition equity. Right now in our state law, we have a situation where children of undocumented workers who've been living in this state for years and years and years, who are here in this country from no decision of their own, we have a situation where they can't get access to in-state tuition. It's essentially a segregatory education policy. And so this bill would simply say that if you're an in-state resident, if you're a resident in the state, if you're living in this state for a certain amount of time, you should have access to in-state tuition. I mean, that should be just a basic right here. And it's appalling me when I read this story, and it's in the Denver Post today, in an article. If you click over to the Post, it's called Lines Drawn on Tuition. It's incredible to me. I think a lot of people will read this story and say, I can't even believe that this situation exists at all in state law. It's so, you know, it's so 1950s. It's so segregatory. Now, I read, and Senator Chris Romer in the last hour, who's pushing this bill, he mentioned that there are some prominent Republicans who were for this bill. Do you think that will mitigate any of the Republican opposition in the legislature to this bill?
Yeah, I hope it does, although it does seem to be a partisan issue. But like you said, it really shouldn't be a partisan issue. You know, I think the two Republicans that have been most vocal about this are coming at it from a real economic standpoint. They know that if we invest in higher education for all students in our state, that increases the tax base. That reduces dependence on social services. That increases the health of our state. All these benefits that come with a highly educated workforce, these businessmen are very aware of. And so they're trying to find any way to get more educated people into our workforce.
It's absolutely critical that this bill passes, and it's absolutely critical that folks get involved in this fight. And I just want to say on a personal level to get involved in all of the work that the Colorado Progressive Coalition does, it's www.progressivecoalition.org. Did I get that right?
Yeah, it's correct.
Yeah, www.progressivecoalition.org. Carlos Valverde, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Hey, thank you, David, for getting the word out. And, yeah, encourage your listeners to definitely call their representatives. The bill moves on to the House after this. And, we just need as many calls and as many grassroots folks getting in touch with their legislator.
And that number, again, is 800-970-3468. That's the general number to the Colorado General Assembly. You can call that number, ask for your state legislator, and tell them to support Senate Bill 170. Carlos Valverde of the Colorado Progressive Coalition, thanks very much. I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's 9:19. After the break, we're going to go back to the phones to talk about any signs of the apocalypse you're seeing and whether you think we're on the precipice of something bad or the precipice of something great. I think it's going to be a little bit of both. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, Dave. Things really back to normal around the city now. Maybe a little extra volume southbound I-25 up in Northland and Thornton due to an earlier crash at Thornton Parkway on the southbound side of 25. Our only current crash on the radar, two vehicles involved, Bellevue and Ulster. That's just a little bit east of I-25 there in the tech center. Also starting to see some of the daily construction being set up on eastbound I-70 around York Street. They've got some closures there of the ramp. Also going to see it on Arapahoe Road at Colorado, County Line and University, Arapahoe and University, and Highway 58 at Washington Avenue in Golden. Your forecast, increasing clouds, cooler trend is on the way. Look for a high around 60 today. Should be windy too. Tomorrow, chance for snow and a high of 43. And on Sunday...
So it rains a lot in March, it rains a lot in April, and Advanced Auto Parts has wiper blades on sale. Coincidence? Yeah, I don't think so. They know you need your windshield clean and clear. That's why when you buy a pair of Select, Trico, and Bosch wiper blades, you save $10 instantly. No matter what day of the month you decide to replace them, Advance's fast and free installation is always, well, fast and free. And part of the package. Whatever you're working on, Advance Auto Parts will help you keep the wheels turning.
Hi, I'm Chris Johnson, Human Resources Manager, and I can tell you, as a leading tech company, we naturally use the web to find talent. My job is to find the brightest tech candidates. Dice.com has the most qualified and talented candidates out there. Because Dice focuses on technology and engineering, I save a lot of time and trouble sifting through thousands of resumes from sites that aren't relevant to our business. Usually, we're looking for experienced software and hardware engineers, DBAs, storage engineers, project managers. We found over half our key hires through Dice.
Dice is the number one online technology job board. For over 17 years, Dice has focused exclusively on tech jobs. Post your open technology positions on Dice to access the best tech talent. Or search through thousands of resumes from qualified engineering and tech professionals from all across the country. Visit Dice.com. Dice.com.
I'm back! I'm back!
921 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760.
Get up off of that thing!
I am, let's see, what are we? We're 39 minutes to the weekend. At least that's when my weekend starts. 39 minutes from now. So in the next 39 minutes, I will do my best to pump in, pump out as many calls as possible. We've been talking about, I wrote a column this morning about how there's that pervasive apocalyptic feeling out there right now, based on all sorts of different things and how it's, if you're feeling that way, it's okay. You're not alone, and good things can come out of this if we shake ourselves off and start working hard on turning things around. And I've asked people to call in and give us their signs, big and small, that they see and they feel that apocalyptic feeling around. And I said, you can Twitter me, David Sirota, DavidSirota. You can Twitter me, and I'll read off your apocalyptic sign. If you got a Facebook, I'll read it off. You can put something on my wall, see if we got anything up there. Here we go, Ed Craig on my Facebook page. I work for a large global-based company. Over the past few months, we've had at least two or three rounds of layoffs. The thing about it is they aren't laying off slackers. They're laying off hardworking, conscientious individuals that have towed the company line. Got an email here from Carol. I like Sirota, but today is nothing I want to hear. I can tune into Rush Limbaugh if I want the kind of pessimism he was spewing. Spewing, very nice. That's a nice use of the word. I didn't think I was spewing. I turned the station off and turned on the news. I'm sure the news is not so apocalyptic today with unemployment at 8%. Even that was better than Sirota talking on his apocalyptic topic. It's no better than the things we get from Fox News. I don't think we need pep rally talk. Just don't fuel the pessimism. Hate mail is hate mail. I actually enjoy hate mail. I get a lot of it. I try to tell myself that it means I'm doing something right. Maybe that's just the self-talk. I'm good enough, I'm strong enough, and doggone it, people like me. Or doggone it, people hate me. I don't really care. Let's go to Dave in Arvada. Dave.
Hey, imagine how different our world might be if we had Gore instead of the administration that we did and all the greed and thievery that went on from stock market and Wall Street to, of course, the political scene overseas. At any rate, about 15 years ago, 15 or 16 years ago, I had a bumper sticker that I'd made out that had about as much popularity as, unfortunately, as Gore seemed to have as predictions of world global warming, and that was that I wanted parents to go for one child, two parents, and have it later in life, the third decade. And I really think that that's got to be the only salvation, maybe one of the upstarts of our current disastrous economy and housing things, is that if people could go ahead and start living close to their jobs, getting a job that is, first of all, close to their home, commuting less, and really trying to get the population down, instead of all this encouragement of Octomom and so on, maybe even the idea of taking away the tax incentive for people that have more children and therefore get some extra help. Instead, maybe tax extra for people that have more than one or two children. Because at the present time, my belief is that the more we've got people going into the world, we're going to go ahead and keep on polluting, using up more consumable resources that are not necessarily renewable in many cases, and unfortunately just accelerating the decline of our planet. And I really hate to see that.
Well, population growth is definitely a global issue. It's not really... The crisis of population growth, of unbridled population growth, is not really fueled by this country, although this, our country fuels a lot of other global crises. I mean, what do we use? We use 40% of the world's fossil fuels and account for a huge segment of global carbon emissions. But population growth, I agree, is a global problem. How much of an American problem or an American-generated problem it is, that's to a lesser extent. But I agree with you that the way our society is physically structured, where so many people have to commute so far to work, as an example, it's an environmental problem. It's an energy consumption problem. And I actually think it's a lifestyle problem. I mean, I know people back east, friends back east, who commute an hour, hour and a half to their job in New York City, mainly because they have to, because you can't live near, if you work in New York City, you can't afford to live anywhere near your job. And I'm somebody who works, when I'm not guest hosting the show, I'm somebody who works out of a home office, so I don't have a commute. And when I did have a commute, it was like, you know, it can really destroy your lives, especially a really big commute. So I definitely agree that in the coming years, as the American population continues to move south and west, because that's what the population in this country is doing geographically, and we have a chance to set up new communities, that those communities better be set up a lot more smartly than they were set up in the last era. Because the way they were set up in the last era, with unbridled sprawl, with really no planning at all, has created and exacerbated a huge amount of problems. Dave, thanks for the call. Let's go next to, trying to get them in order here, let's go next to George in Lakewood.
Hey, Dave, how are you? You're doing a great job, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
I think you can contribute a lot of your work to turning around the country, I tell you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, anyway, you know, as an American Indian guy, okay, grew up here in Denver, first one born off the res, born free, okay, I know what racism is, okay? And remember, racism started here in this part because the white guy wanted to get rid of the Indian because he wanted to take, you know, whatever was there for himself and got selfish with the whole idea. And that's where it all breaks down with the American dream, because America used to be, when the Indians taught Benjamin Franklin and the founding fathers, hey, this is the country where you share, because it's a big country, it's rugged, and it's a deadly thing. And if you don't take care of it, it'll take care of you. And that's really been the motto that has kept, you know, the Indian alive throughout this whole decimation period. But and all that decimation period is certain people at the top who are keeping knowledge from the people at the bottom, which is pretty much everybody. And the knowledge is what? Is that each and everything you see is God. Everything you see everywhere is God. And as a result, if you don't take care of that power, then it will be taken from you, and other people will use that power for your benefit, and you'll be towing the party line, and all of a sudden they cut you loose, and you go, what? I believed in you. And they're like, well, wait a second. I didn't believe in you. And that's just the key. So now in this day and age, you know, where everything's going to, you know, the galactic reset button is being hit, and, you know, the big wheel is coming back around again to the center again, what that means is that all the things that don't vibrate as fast as love does will just, you know, will no longer exist, because people won't care about them anymore, whether it be the dinosaur vehicle that I'm driving in now, or whether it be the way that I'm living now. In the future, hopefully, if we do the right things now today together, by like calling about the Bill 170, because that's a direct slap in the face of racism, you know, and another direct slap in the face of racism with Denver and the West as the epicenter of racism and trying to fix it. We helped put Barack Obama in, okay?
Absolutely.
And now, if you can see that power is what taking over the world, the freedom of spirituality to be able to believe in God is fine by me. Just don't try to blow me up. And if you do, then you know what? you're I'll come back and haunt you. Because the reality is it'll just come back around again. And like, you know, look at the Republican Party. They spent the, they directed off of what Lincoln did on the right way, took it directly to be all racism all these years, and now look what the result is. They got, and this is, I think, the ultimate sign of the apocalypse. They got the ultimate racist leading the party, Rush Limbaugh, against a black man in his own party.
It is pretty incredible, that's for sure. And you make a really good point about why we can talk about this feeling of apocalypse, this apocalyptic zeitgeist out there right now. And it doesn't have to be all negative. I got this email from Carol, who was saying that, you know, this is too pessimistic, this is negative. Well, as I said throughout the broadcast here, at moments that our country and really our world has faced, apocalyptic moments in the past, great things have come out of those moments. And so you're right. We have to recognize that this is a scary time, but there are things that we can do to really reform, reshape our society right now in a way that will be ultimately, I think, really beneficial to our society. We have one way to do it that we talked about here this morning, tuition equity. Let's make sure that if you live in state, there's not ethnic or immigration discrimination against you. You can simply get in-state tuition. We have a chance to do that in the legislature right now. Call the General Assembly, 888-473-8136. Tell them you want them to pass Senate Bill 170. That's one little thing you can do out of this moment of crisis. Call Michael Bennett, the senator from Colorado. Tell him to pass the Employee Free Choice Act. Tell him to support it, 866-455-9866. Tell him you want that bill passed. There's a lot of things that we can do here. It's a scary, frightening time. It's easy to get depressed, too. And it's okay to feel a little bit despondent at times. But as my column in the Post says, and as we've been saying all morning, we got to brush ourselves off, and get to work. I'm David Sirota, filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Give us a call. Tell us the signs of the apocalypse you're seeing, small and large. My small one, as I said, a Chicago 7 pizza, a pizza, fast food being marketed with a famous social justice court case. That is apocalyptic. Hopefully traffic is not too apocalyptic.
It's not, David. Actually, there's really nothing to talk about on the major highways around Denver and Boulder right now. Back to top speeds on the turnpike across 225 between 70 and 25. No problems in Highlands Ranch or Littleton on C-470. Looks like the morning commute has wrapped up pretty early for us. We do see the daily construction, though, beginning in Golden, Highway 58 at Washington Avenue, a couple different spots in Littleton, County Line, and University, also on University at Arapahoe Road. Your forecast, partly cloudy, windy, with highs in the low 60s. Right now, 41 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Live a better life with diabetes. Visit the free Diabetes Expo March 7th at the Colorado Convention Center.
TurboTax presents a message from Ulysses S. Grant.
Hey there, I'm that handsome devil on the $50 bill, and I want to tell you how you can do your taxes without spending me. Just go to TurboTax.com, because now you can do your simple federal return for free with the TurboTax Federal Free Edition. After all, if you're going to spend me, I'd like you to spend me on something nice, like dinner at a restaurant of my choosing.
TurboTax. Choose easy. Get the Federal Free Edition at TurboTax.com.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney. Finalized a contract in London and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code ONLINE to get a free trial and a free retractable VoIP headset, too. Remember that code, ONLINE. To qualify for the free VoIP headset, WebEx, now part of Cisco, used by over 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code ONLINE. WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
And better yet, our 12-month CD has a 2.95% annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available, and it guarantees your money makes money. Lock in now. Go to gmacbank.com/radio or call 1-800-490-GMAC. Open a CD with as little as $500 and feel confident knowing your money's wearing body armor. GMAC Bank. Smart, simple, safe. Member FDIC.
Line 35 here in Denver. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. As I told you, my column this morning in the Denver Post is about signs of the apocalypse. One of them, I name is the Old Chicago Pizza putting out a new pizza called the Chicago 7 Pizza. Seems struck me as quite apocalyptic that we're turning famous social justice court cases into fast food dishes. But and I went online and I looked up the Chicago 7 pizza, and it's actually quite funny in a dark noir kind of humor. They describe the Chicago 7 pizza as, I kid you not, a conspiracy of Italian sausage, pepperoni, fresh mushrooms, black olives, green peppers, red onions, and mozzarella cheese. A conspiracy like the Chicago 7. Actually sounds pretty good. You know what would be apocalyptic is if I rail on the Chicago 7 pizza and then after the show go out and get a Chicago 7 pizza. That would be my own personal apocalyptic act. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Dan in Denver. Hello, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
The biggest sign of the apocalypse that I could note is the absolute silence of the Obama administration and of the Democratic Party on the subject of congressional campaign finance reform. When Governor Ritter appointed Mr. Bennett to the Senate, we were told that he's going to have to raise $10 million to get elected. And when they were talking about naming a senator in New York, they were paying $50 million in order to get elected. And as long as that's true, as long as we let the fat cats support the process, or let special interests of any kind, liberal or conservative, support the process, then our senators and representatives are going to be representing the people who paid them to do so, and not the citizens that they are paid to represent.
You put it perfectly. It's really true. We talked yesterday about how drug policy, for instance, is one of those. There's a select set of policies that impact every other policy. I cited yesterday drug policy. Drug policy affects criminal justice policy. It affects social policy. It affects communities. It's got all sorts of implications. Campaign finance reform, which I mentioned yesterday, is probably the granddaddy of policies that affects every other policy. The way you finance campaigns, that is, the way you finance how people get into positions of governmental power, is ultimately what is going to determine what your government does. And how many examples of that do we have? From Jack Abramoff giving money to get earmarks, to Wall Street contributing money to both parties to get deregulatory policies, campaign finance reform. If we don't, let's put it this way. The lack of campaign finance reform has created the policies that have brought on this apocalyptic economic moment.
That's right. And you can't have change you can believe in unless we do that. It is absolutely impossible. And, you know, for the people who are not so damn liberal, the fact is that the left senators who depend upon labor unions and Emily's List and all that sort of stuff are as bound by the support that they get as are the right people. Because if you are voting on some issue relating to abortion, for example, and you are supported by the Emily's List people, you have to think very carefully in voting on any amendment that might offend them, even if you're generally supporting the right to abortion. Any compromise is difficult because you have to stand with your people, as it were. In the same way you were mentioning the Labor Free Choice Act, I'm all for that. But if I'm a representative in the Senate or the House, and I'm supported by organized labor, I have to look at what they think ahead of even what my constituents think or what I may think myself. So it's not just a one-sided thing at all.
You put it perfectly. When you force politicians to run for office, in campaigns that are financed by private money, you're going to get political representatives that answer first and foremost to that private money. And we're never really going to be able to get ongoing systemic change until we actually focus in on changing the structure of how our government essentially gets itself elected. Thanks for the call. We'll go back to the phones. Let's go. Who's been waiting the longest? Let's go to Lori in Boulder. Lori.
Hey, David.
Hi there.
Apologies to Carol, I think it was, but I love this discussion this morning, and it really hits home for me. And I have this vision of Dave Schultheis, I think is his name, the state legislature,
right.
Legislator South.
Yep.
Is Ozymandias the, you know, the great head on Easter Island that stands there, you know, boasting that he was the greatest and the last to survive in a collapsed civilization? And I see that's exactly what Dave Schultheis is trying to do to us. And I think the hopeful part is that maybe we can take warning and draw back from that. And when we look at this SB 170, I think the way that we're treating immigrant children is a great opportunity for us to step back from the brink and to say there's going to be comprehensive immigration reform. These students are always going to be part of our community. And when comprehensive reform passes on a federal level, we as Coloradans can either be at the forefront by having allowed them to go to school so that they can help us fix our economy, or we will be, you know, the Easter Island statues looking out and watching other states succeed while we crumble.
Absolutely. When I read this story, I said this before, and call me ignorant, or call me something else, but don't call me Shirley. Sorry. Bad movie reference. I think that was Naked Gun. Or Airplane. I think I made an Airplane reference. But call me ignorant, call me what you want, but when I read this story about tuition, essentially tuition segregation, that if you're, even if you're in-state, that you can't get an in-state tuition if you're the child of, not even yourself an undocumented immigrant, but you're the child of an undocumented immigrant. The idea that you can't get in-state tuition, that's out of a past era. That sounds so 1950s, but it's right here in Colorado. And that's why we've had on two guests this morning to talk about SB 170, Senate Bill 170, to change that situation. And we've been telling people, you know, if you want to, Carlos Valverde, the Colorado Progressive Coalition, made the point that this bill has a real chance of passing to create tuition equity if everybody calls their legislators and makes them know that we want this passed. And you can call the General Assembly at 888-473-8136. And I think that Senate Bill 170 is a great example of how even in bad times, in times where it might be easy to resort to immigrant bashing, because, of course, bad economic times often resorts to immigrant scapegoating, if we can get this through the legislature, I think would be a perfect example of taking a moment of crisis and using it for something good.
I agree, and I'd like to give a plug for your book, The Uprising. My husband and I just finished it in the audiobook, and you have a great reader.
Thank you.
And it is a primer on how to take it back.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you. And thanks
and we love the Chicago 7 pizza, and it's been around for at least 20 years.
Has it been around for 20 years?
It has. And so if we look at it in the context of,
maybe their new ad campaign is new, because I had never heard about it, and I love pizza, and I've been getting I saw on TV a bunch of ads for it.
You can eat it with honor. It's been around a long time.
and for full disclosure, I know Tom Hayden, who was one of the Chicago 7. I'm sure my guess is they don't mind it at all. I you know, sometimes you just see things that seem a little crazy in a fun way, but they also seem a little bit like they highlight that your world has gone a little bit nuts and that's, it's all around us. And what I said is I think that the reason to identify the feeling of that apocalyptic feeling is not to simply wallow in it, but it's to simply poke a little fun at it. and is to say, to let people know that, look, all of us feel this way. I think there's a feeling of comfort in knowing that, look, everybody is feeling really nervous now. It's not just you. We're not all alone in this. And the first way towards getting back to a place where we can actually get out of this is to help everybody figure out that, hey, lots of people are feeling this way. That's why I wanted to do this show this morning. That's why I wrote the column. Thanks for your call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We got about 15 minutes left of the show. I'm going to try to force in as many calls as possible. 303-713-7600. Let's go to Ron in Littleton. Ron, hello.
Hey, David, how you doing?
All right.
You're talking apocalyptic, and I want to bring up something social and stuff. And I saw it in a couple of the articles that was mentioned on the radio. Have you seen these new developments coming out of Europe and the East Coast about lifestyles? Whereas now you can they've got new sorts of DNA controls that if you and your wife want to have a baby, you could choose its eyes, its sex, its color, hair.
I had heard of this. Yes, I have heard of this. This is bizarre.
They've even got a thing now in England. They're working on, like, for example, if you were married to a trophy wife and she wants to have a child and a perfect child, but she doesn't want to go through pregnancy, they're developing artificial wombs.
Yeah, the whole...
That's apocalyptic to me.
Look, the whole genetic engineering issue is, it's actually apocalyptic in the way that that term is used in Hollywood when you describe science fiction. It's really creepy and scary. Now, obviously, I'm not trying to be a Luddite here. I mean, I think genetic research on the genome project, all that stuff. I mean, that's basic science. That's good. It's when you start getting into the really weird parts of genetic engineering, first crops, then animals, then potentially humans and cloning, it gets really, really weird. And it's in a really weird part of, it's that weird part where science meets science fiction. And you're right, when you start hearing stories about people trying to almost genetically engineer their own kids, that's just bizarre.
Yeah, but did you ever read and I know you've read it, did you ever read Aldous Huxley's books, Brave New World?
Yeah, of course.
Hey, same thing. And you know who would have loved it if it had been about 60, 70 years ago? Some people in Central Europe.
You know what? I always felt like when I read that book that Huxley was making he was alluding to that, whether he knew he was alluding to that, or I should put it differently, that knowing what we know now, you read A Brave New World, and knowing about what happened in the Holocaust, you read it, and it was so predictive, if you will, in some ways. It was really, really predictive. That's why it's such a haunting read right now. Thanks for the call. 948 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. We'll try to squeeze one more call in before the break. Let's go to Bob in Denver. Real quick, Bob.
David, we need you on regular.
Well,
on the station regular.
Well, talk to the station management.
Okay,
I would never want to replace Jay.
No, I don't want you to replace Jay.
In addition to Jay. Yes, that's right, in addition.
Jay's a keeper.
Absolutely.
But I want to go back to Reagan and his trickle down. I think that was of course, it didn't start there, but that was a great mistake.
Huge.
Roger Ailes, remember him?
Of course.
He started Fox, I think.
Yeah, he did.
And he hired Rush Limbaugh.
Did he hire Limbaugh?
I believe he did. Check me out on that.
He certainly hired a lot of right-wingers, that's for sure.
And I think he hired, and I remember seeing Roger take, would that have been Bush 1? Excuse my dog. I remember Ailes taking Limbaugh in the back door to spend the night at the White House.
Well, Ailes was a Republican operative, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's when all the ugliness started.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Roger Ailes has an infamous and ugly political career that includes, by the way, that includes starting up a network that has been one of the peddlers of some of the nastiest stuff out there in our political debate. So you're absolutely right. And I think the good news is out of that dark kind of media that's been created and that dark political debate, I think, just to give you another example of where great opportunity can come out of apocalyptic forces, we did create change, or the possibility for change, in 2008, and we are starting to develop our own fact-based progressive media, and I think that's a really good development. Thanks for the call, Bob. 9:51 here, 9 minutes until the weekend. We're going to try to squeeze in as many calls as we can after the break and after this traffic update.
Thank you, David. Things looking good around the metro highway systems. We have one crash. It's on Dahlia near I-76, and that's the only problem to report right now. We do see some daily construction also getting underway in Golden, Highway 58 at Washington Avenue, a couple different spots in Littleton, both on University, First County Line, and then again around Arapahoe Road. In Inglewood, got construction southbound Parker Road near Arapahoe. And that's about it. Really nice drive for us this morning. Your forecast, increasing clouds and cooler trend on the way this week. A high of 60 today. Should be windy, too, this afternoon. Tomorrow, got a chance for snow, a high of 43. And on Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high of 55 degrees. Right now, 42 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Get to Ralph Schomp Mini today for a great deal. Right now, Ralph Schomp is featuring the Mini Cooper with a starting price of just $19,200.
Did you know that the new Climate Smart program allows Boulder County residents to install solar power with no out-of-pocket cost? Learn how you can take advantage of the Climate Smart Loan Program at an exclusive Boulder County Community Solar event at the Louisville Rec Center on March 18th at 7 p.m. Meet the founder and owner of Independent Power Systems, Tony Boniface, as he shares his 15 years of solar experience and answers questions about solar energy and how you can eliminate your electric bill for life. Tony will present the details of the Climate Smart program and the IPS community discount on Wednesday, March 18th at the Louisville Rec Center at 7 p.m. IPS, the Coors Field solar experts, invite you to meet Tony Boniface and learn how to eliminate your electric bill for life. For more, go to solarips.com/climate and RSVP for this free seminar. The Climate Smart Loan Program for Boulder County residents. Brought to you by Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
Skilled professionals. Visit 10till2.com. That's TENTILTWO.com. 10till2. The time is now.
Hi, this is Jay Marvin. LASIK.
I know, it makes a lot of you nervous. A lot of you say, hey, I'm eye shy. Jay, and there's no way I'm going to do anything about it. Well, I was the same way till I went to Icon LASIK. Let me tell you something about Icon. They're a Denver institution, and they offer interlace bladeless LASIK, Nidec, and Wavefront LASIK technologies, the top of the line in LASIK. They're your one stop for all your LASIK needs, and they can do it for as low as $499 per eye. And they have done tons and tons of these procedures. So they treat you great. As a matter of fact, they've completed over 60,000 procedures in Colorado. So if you've been shy about LASIK, hey, do yourself a favor. Call Icon. Set up a free custom vision evaluation today, and it'll just put your mind at rest, really. Call Icon, 720-524-1001. That's 720-524-1001. Or check them out on the internet at icondenver.com.
Hey, welcome to Radio Shack. Oh, sorry about my college marching band. I love tournament time, so I have them follow me everywhere.
Well, you know, all you need is Sirius Satellite Radio with the best of XM. You'll hear all the live college basketball you could want, plus with 100% commercial-free music. Everything worth listening to is now on Sirius.
Awesome!
Buy a $50 Sirius prepaid subscription card and save $30 on all Sirius Dock and Play radios, including the Stratus 5 at $39.99, only at Radio Shack.
Offer good through 3/14/09. Service activation fee, other fees, and restrictions apply.
Ah, the sounds of spring. The chirp of the chickadee. The crack of a little league bat. And the sound of people changing their allergy medicine from Claritin to Allivert. They've discovered Allivert gives them the 24-hour non-drowsy relief they need. Relief even Claritin can't beat at a much better price. It's spring. It's time to switch your allergy medicine to Allivert. A good change to make.
Use as directed. Price comparison based on IRI data as of 11/2/08. Brands are trademarks of their respective owners.
Northwest, my song, working for the weekend. That's what it felt like when I changed my body clock up and getting up 3-4 hours earlier than I usually do to do this show. And I know that makes me seem like I lie around all day in my robe and don't get up until, like, I don't know, 12 or 1 p.m., but that's not true. I get up at around 7 to do this show. You got to get up at around 4. All right, we're going to squeeze in. I'm going to try to squeeze in 2 more calls before the end of this show. Gene in Fort Collins.
Hello, how are you doing today?
All right.
Hey, so real quick question here. I was talking to my wife about this, and one thing she brought up is, now these people who have been here, brought there by their parents and stuff, they have the option of attaining citizenship, correct? Especially college age.
Who, the parents?
No, the children who are looking to go to school. So we're talking about, you know, the kids of these illegal immigrants. Well, if they've been living here for 15, 20 years or however long they've been living here, don't they have the option of becoming naturalized citizens but when they become 18 years old? And wouldn't that be another way to do this?
I mean, well, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to that. Because in terms of the idea of a lot of people, if they're undocumented and they're here, they're afraid to come forward and try to get citizenship because they're afraid of being deported. Now, I don't know what the policy is if you are here as a child. If you were brought here, for instance, as an infant, if you come forward when you're 18 years old and you try to get citizenship, whether, first of all, whether you're potentially up for deportation, and secondly, whether how long the waiting process is. I mean, we don't want to have 18-year-olds who would have to wait to go to college in order to get citizenship.
But your first point doesn't make a lot of sense, because if they're afraid to come forward to get citizenship and become legal citizens of the United States to receive these services, why would they come forward to get college tuition? I mean, it doesn't make sense. They're still forward in the public.
It does make sense. It does make sense because they're still, just because they don't have immigration documents doesn't mean that they're not functioning parts of society. There's a difference there. Wanting to get a college education is for a lot of people, certainly not for everybody, but for a lot of people, wanting to do something, to be part of society. It's not necessarily a prerequisite, but it's understandable. Thanks for the call. I'm David Sirota, filling in, or have just filled in for Jay Marvin, who's out sick. I'll be here through Tuesday. Sorry I didn't get to that last call. Give us a call on Monday. Until then, I hope you have a good weekend. Don't be too apocalyptic. But recognize that if you're feeling that way, you're not alone. Have a good weekend and the good.
Putting the magic into Urban Johnson took a lot of hard work, but the reward was worth it. Your hard work is rewarded at Rent-A-Center. Find the good stuff your family wants from Sony, Ashley, Whirlpool, and more. No credit checks, no credit needed. And it's all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Nice to know Rent-A-Center is working hard for you.
Money-back guarantee must be exercised within the first week of possession. See rentacenter.com for complete details.
Hey, thinking about starting a big home improvement project? Don't do it yourself. Trust a name that has more than 30 years experience. Hi, Tom Harbin here, and I want to talk to you about AAA Home Improvements. AAA is a full-service home improvement company specializing in pop-ups, additions, kitchens, and basements. They handle it all from start to finish, but don't take my word for it. Read what their satisfied customers have said at aaahomeimprovements.com. AAA Home Improvements, 720-981-4269.